Always funnier the second time.
That's right. Shut up, Greg. Welcome to We Are Libertarians for this week. I am your host, Chris Spangle. Across from me is Greg Lenz.
Chris, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing pretty well. To my left is Chloe Anagnos.
Hi.
How are you?
Great. How are you?
Good.
Like I'm not even here.
And then
did you hear a voice?
I know. He's upset we didn't introduce him first.
No, I'm just upset that we didn't go in the order in which we're seated and the order in which the first time we did the intros.
I'm sorry, I did ladies first.
You know, sometimes as his assistant, sometimes it's nice to be thought of first.
I know, yeah. And then little Brett Bittner's here.
No, we're dropping that. We're all on hashtag Never Bittner now. Everybody can go and get their shirts. It's got my face on it. It's a great color. The best color. I don't know that there is a better color.
People tell you all the time
all the time I have the best colors. And so you can get your t-shirt at tchip.com/neverbittner. $5 from each t-shirt sold goes to We Are Libertarians. So far, Spangle is up to a whopping $35.
Nice. Boom. All right. I'll take it.
Is he going to buy Jeremiah Morrill Giacomo's pizza?
Hell no. No.
You could get him Giacomo's like five times with that.
Oh, Jeremiah just can't win.
No. He is a member of the Jeremiah Morrill Pizza Club, so... If you go to WeAreLibertarians.com and you click on the right side, you can join the pizza club.
In true libertarian fashion, rather than giving him financial support, you've decided to bestow upon him a title.
Right. So anyways, yes, we are here. We're apparently doing a Facebook Live video because I'm going to try and Facebook Live these. I tried to be fancy and hook the board right into the equipment.
We're doing the internets?
Yeah, we're doing the internets, but I don't know if it's working or not.
Well,
so
that's all right.
We'll see.
The people will they will be okay if we don't live stream.
Yeah. Somebody text me and tell me if it's working or not.
presumptuous. Would, hey,
there's
I know you're
actually
watching.
Anybody
Let me
tuned
know.
In.
All of you watching, tell me.
There's like 20 people watching.
Are there really?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, we've got lots and lots of fans.
Basements across the country are going wild right now.
Yeah. So we've got someone said ha 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 Brett. So clearly no one's listening.
Clearly.
Now, oh, it's working.
All right, sweet.
So yes, Brett Bittner, famous for coming on We Are Libertarians.
Yep. Definitely.
This is your own cause then. That's what he's saying.
Coming on to We Are Libertarians to talk about his favorite subject, Brett Bittner.
Just my t-shirts right now.
Has launched his own clothing line.
Yep. Never Bittner. Hashtag right. Never Bittner.
Right.
It's not working, though.
tchip.com/neverbittner. You guys need to make sure. I'm going to check in at the end of the show for all the 20 people that are watching the live stream.
Uh-huh.
And make sure that all 20 of them have purchased their Never Bittner t-shirts.
Do you have yours yet?
No, mine hasn't come in yet.
Okay, so when you have it, we have to do the live stream and you have to wear it. That seems to be the official shirt
at the
you
next,
wear.
If I have it by the next Wall Live, if I'm actually allowed to come... I will definitely make sure that I wear it.
Yes, you should wear it, and we will make sure that you're up there only if you are wearing a ballerina tutu.
Oh, no, Scylla has all of those right now.
I know. They've maybe she needs. Maybe your pug Scylla needs. She needs a Never Bittner outfit.
She has one.
Does she really?
It's on order.
Are you serious?
You made your own dog an outfit that has your face on it.
Yeah,
and hashtag Never Bittner.
Of course. Why wouldn't I? This is the greatest hashtag in the history of hashtags. It's the greatest reverse psychology campaign of all time.
That is kind of true. I mean, it's 100% effective so far.
It is.
So get your Never Bittner t-shirts. What is the address again?
tchip.com/neverbittner.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'll put it
hashtag, though.
I'll put it in the show notes, too. Yeah.
Apparently, Jeremiah wants to make sure that we talk about him. And to ask me why I went swimming yesterday.
See, this whole live stream thing may be bad because now people think that they can get on the show by joining in on the Facebook Live. And that is not how we do things. No.
Not cool, Jeremiah.
This is not interactive.
It has to be earned.
Right.
You have to earn it, earning your placement with Dear Leader.
Some of you may notice a little bit of a difference. And I don't know why, but it's really only on my mic I can hear the difference. But on your guys' mic, I think it's the professional broadcast quality voice that I have.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Thanks to Jason Doolittle, he bought us a Behringer Multicom Pro XL. And it's a compressor, so if we all just stay silent for a moment, you don't hear anything. And you used to be able to hear traffic. You used to be able to hear air conditioning, mittens, me breathing heavily into the microphone, especially when Chloe's here.
Oh, God. Preparatory alert.
Oh, so that's why you're sitting over there.
It's like we're at the convention all over again.
Oh, gosh.
The live stream is even hooked up.
So we now have that taking place. It sounds great, and I wanted to thank him for that. If you want to join, click our Amazon wish list. It's in order of importance at wearelibertarians.com. Greg, how are you feeling? You look like you're a little tired.
I'm exhausted. It's been a long weekend. Starting, I told you I'd been helping out with Andrew Horning. He is running for Congress in District 8 here in Indiana. And
that's a long way from where you live, Greg. Why would you be helping out with a candidate all the way down there?
Your commitment to liberty is so unparalleled.
Well, see, I've found that the toxic and divisive label has actually, it doesn't go further south than Bloomington. And so I'm going to where I'm accepted.
All right.
I am toxic and divisifying Southern Indiana next. After that, it will be to the Northern region. And by the end of the year or election season, I will have completely infected all of Indiana libertarianism with toxic and divisivity.
Yeah. Infected. That's not maybe the word you want to use.
No, but Andy kicked off his barnstorming tour of District 8 with Evansville media appearances, did 8 of them in all. And started with the Evansville Courier-Press on Friday night and went all the way through to a TV interview with their local affiliate Sunday afternoon. And then just getting things together, getting it launched. It's been awesome. I can't get over the media he has received is incredible, given, you know, the struggle we have always fought in getting the same level of access and the type of coverage that the major two parties have gotten.
Yeah, especially Andy. Andy really, I think it was 2004... Whoa, that's us. Sorry, guys. He, in 2004, very professional broadcast. In 2004, he went outside of the major state newspaper, the Indianapolis Star, and lit it on fire. And then for subsequent runs, couldn't figure out why the Indianapolis Star would never cover him.
Traditionally detrimental to positive coverage.
Right.
Well, you know, everything is different now. I mean, that's why hashtag Never Bittner is trending.
Okay. On Twitter nationally.
It was at one point. It was crazy.
People are love not feeling the Bittner.
That's right.
Yep. Now, little Brett Bittner. You were successful in your mission, and we failed as a hashtag to get rid of you.
Yep, you guys, you're terrible. Absolutely terrible.
We propelled him into the National Libertarian Party as... Oh, congratulations on your win as...
Thank you.
District 3 representative at the national level.
Yep.
Big deal.
Region 3 rep for Indiana, Michigan, Ohio, Kentucky. I stepped up from the alternate spot. No thanks to Greg, because he wasn't there for the vote, but...
You really would have wanted to say that Greg Lenz of We Are Libertarians endorsed you? I thought you wanted to win.
Well, your other person that was endorsed, your other endorsement, Nick Sarwark, also won with 65% of the vote.
I know, but that's because I haven't fully infected nationally the Libertarian Party.
All right.
I'll make sure
to take you to all of my events here in Indiana, Michigan, Ohio, and Kentucky, and we'll make sure that you start the infection.
I will. I'll be glad to wear my armband of the Liberty Windmill that some might recognize from the 1940s.
Oh, boy. At least it's not an iron cross that you're going to...
Yeah.
Yeah. Brand on my arm.
Yeah. Chloe.
What?
What?
Why? I'm kidding.
So moody.
Do you want me to bring up the long conversation I had last night with your sister?
No.
No one wants that.
No one wants to hear that.
Had a long, hour-long conversation with Chloe's 19-year-old sister last night. It's no big deal.
Mm-hmm. She's working on her YouTube page. Apparently.
She is. Yeah. I'm helping her get into show business.
Oh, man. We got ourselves a libertarian Cosby on our hands.
Wait, is it a hot Cosby or a slow Cosby?
Want to be a libertarian celebrity, hun?
Now, Chloe, you attended your first National Libertarian Convention.
I did.
I bet you were popular.
Oh, yeah. I was so popular.
How popular were you?
I was so popular that I probably have many, many new suitors.
Yeah.
So, and I'll just kind of leave it at that.
No, let's keep going.
Let's flesh this out.
Tell us some of the stories. Because listen, Chloe. If I may touch you.
Oh, my God.
How about not?
Oh, that was him putting the lotion on its skin.
Chloe, come back here.
Put the lotion in the basket.
Yeah.
I will marry an anagnos. Get over here.
I will. There goes voluntarism right out the window. Yeah.
Prima nocta.
Oh, he's about to Borat wedding sack you.
Now, I think it's important that libertarians hear what they're like, how they come across to women.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some of the horror stories of being an attractive female at a libertarian convention.
Okay, I don't even think it has to do with being an attractive female, because there was one day where I showed up in glasses, no makeup, just pants, button-down shirt, flats. Like
Elkhart formal.
Elkhart formal, yes,
gas.
Exactly.
Nothing but gas everywhere.
Severely bloated.
No.
Eyes puffy.
Dry shampoo, like,
oh man.
I just kind of showed up, right? Still got some of the same people that came over and talked to me. So mm-hmm. I don't really think it matters what you look like. It's just, I don't know. I like to think that I'm a nice person, and a couple days where I was looking pretty cute.
Yeah.
You're hanging out with
everybody,
the wrong crowd.
You know,
really?
Haven't heard that.
Hitler thought that too.
That.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I can't tell you how many SOS text messages I got and SOS phone calls. And
yeah.
It is. It's something, and we joke about it. Like, you know, we joke about the creepertarian, you know.
It's real.
Yeah, it's highly, it is really preventative. For, when we have these long discussions on how we appeal to women, how do we outreach effectively, talk about the issues they care about, because we do tend to be focused on the economic side.
Right.
And we do tend to be focused on the, you know, just more, I guess you could say, the less feelsy things.
Mm-hmm. Speak for yourself.
That's true. You're very good. No, you and Chris are both like two excellent examples of people who are able to sell the libertarian message in a like heartfelt, people listen. You sell libertarianism in relatable stories very well.
Yeah.
Especially that appeal to the emotional side, because that's there. It's just rarely used.
Yeah.
It's one, and it's arguably the most effective tactic we have in spreading the message. Unfortunately, so though. Most are the Austrian economic school of selling liberty.
Yeah. I will say.
Hi.
Oh, please stop. I mean, Brett, is there anything? A couple of them I don't really want to talk about. I'd rather you kind of talk about.
I wasn't there. I just got a lot of SOS text messages and phone calls.
You tell us. This is entertainment.
Part of being a libertarian is taking personal responsibility and handling issues yourself.
Yeah, I will say.
Don't ask for a Bittner subsidy.
Hashtag true. Never Bittner.
True. Yeah.
Don't forget to get your t-shirts, tchip.com/neverbittner.
He's the It Works of the Libertarian Party.
I mean, I did send a lot of SOS like messages to Brett, and then I think I sent a few to Christy Avery and said, hey, like, can someone just kind of come and sit with me? Because I had...
There's no air conditioning in this trunk.
Oh, gosh. People are going to be like, Chloe, just get to the story. But I had, people that just mainly, like, wouldn't go away. Like, it's
that
like... And that happens. But then I had, like, some advances that were very, like, inappropriate.
What'd they say?
Trying to follow me to my room.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. Like... Hey, I'll like
Bittner.
I had to.
Nope, yeah. There's a reason that her room is always next to mine or across the hall from mine.
No, right. Like I'll attest. Like Brett did a really good job of being like, you know, making sure that Chloe was. It's not that she was necessarily. Well, hopefully she was never unsafe. But
no,
that Chloe always felt comfortable or like not so creeped out she didn't want to participate the next day.
Because we know
absolutely.
How. Yeah, we know how Chloe feels about human contact and human. What's your deal?
What's your deal? So. She did have a couple people come up and ask her that.
Really?
Yeah, I had a lot of wall people that came over and talked to me, which was really cool.
That's great.
A lot of people asked about you and were like, oh my gosh, is Len's going to be here? Is Spangle going to be here?
I was there. You know? I made an appearance and then,
which I never saw.
Yeah, most people didn't because I thought I don't want to come away from this disappointed about liberty and its prospects. So I'm just going to walk away and stay in my little, you know, my bubble of positive liberty.
And yet you did.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that later. So you went to Orlando, did you?
I did. Okay. Went down to Orlando.
Yeah. What'd you do?
Time,
hey, tell us a little bit about your flight.
Please do. Please
so
tell us.
My quote unquote friends, which I use that term very loosely, decided. It would be hilarious as I'm checking in to get on my flight to head to Orlando that it's going to be just the funniest thing in the world to all of a sudden take the list of NSA trigger words, which is every bit of 150 to 200 words long.
It was 350.
350 and repeatedly post them on and as comments on my check-in at the airport, which shockingly my flight although arriving on time, had an unexpected 30-minute delay where it neither had to back away from anything, nor did the crew leave. It was basically a lockdown sweep because I was reported to TSA, Homeland Security, and Southwest Airlines as a known terrorist, both on Twitter and Facebook.
Who would have done such a thing, Chris?
Oh, well, terrible.
You know,
that is terrible.
Only good friends. Only good friends. only the worst kind of friends and podcast co-hosts do such terrible things.
What kind of person photoshops a picture of you next to Osama bin Laden?
Wait, he didn't say anything about that.
Oh. Yeah, that was part of the narrative of selling it, if you will, to the authorities necessary to detain me at Guantanamo for an extended period of time without rights.
Fly just to Orlando.
You had to go back.
I did.
Thorough. Uh-huh. Just and thorough.
Generous.
Yeah, I know.
Generous and thorough.
Yeah, generous and thorough.
Well,
which
we
when
were.
They asked if two fingers would be okay, I asked for a third.
Right.
If I'm going to have to go through this ridiculous exercise, I might as well enjoy it a little bit.
Because you're a man.
Yes. Anyway,
I'm
a white male.
Did you really get a cavity search?
No, just drug sniffing dog. The plane got delayed 30 minutes for no reason, and then they took my bag off of the airplane after it was already ready to go on, left me a nice little note when I arrived in Florida to get my toiletries for the evening to brush my teeth, and found out that there was nothing in it, with a wonderful note from the TSA letting them know that it had been confiscated. And I had everything perfectly folded, and shocked to find out that it was all thrown and tossed aside, and everything was a wrinkled mess touched by the grubby hands of some basement-breathing mouth dweller that works for the airlines.
You mean the blue gloves of freedom?
I guess. This was a baggage handler, I think, probably has some sort of deep web rape channel. Or at least that's what I like to imagine the late-night baggage handlers do.
Now, to be fair, I don't.
To be fair,
I don't
huh?
think it
to
was.
To be fair,
to,
huh?
to be fair, I
to
don't.
To be fair, that's an interesting choice of words.
Don't think it was me. I think it was John who tweeted directly to Homeland Security's Twitter.
Where would he have ever got that idea?
All right, I take full responsibility for that. All right,
where and you're stunned that somehow once
just,
you
listen.
Said it was okay that I was a terrorist threat. That a brutalist would think it was totally okay to report directly on Twitter that I, in fact, knew bin Laden, there's photo evidence, and I have a history of talking about ISIS. I can't believe John thought it was okay.
You know, my participation was simply pointing out that in the list of the trigger words, you guys forgot bomb.
That's not a trigger word, remember?
Well, I know it's not a trigger word, but it would seem that, you know, if Greg is on an airplane and there are comments about him being on an airplane, that bomb certainly needs to be.
Especially
included.
With as swarthy as I am.
The one right. that was like 700 words wouldn't copy and paste on my phone. So
you just decided to break it up into two. Logical. It makes perfect sense.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Hey, Greg, want to come to a podcast? No, I'd love to. But actually, right now, I'm stuck with Chinese Uyghurs and Khalid Sheikh Mohammed in Guantanamo enjoying ice cream.
Wait,
well,
do they get ice cream in Guantanamo?
Oh, you haven't seen that?
No,
it's probably better than the
they let
them
swim and all
Orlando
kinds of
airport.
Stuff.
See,
I had fruit. I didn't have.
It's best to keep terrorists happy.
Now listen, I will not apologize. I did nothing wrong.
You did nothing wrong, huh?
No.
Interesting.
After years and years of abuse,
yeah. of it, real life with real consequences, abuse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Please name an example.
Well, there was that girl that was really, well, we can't get into her right now. She's getting married. So, now
what are you talking about? I helped you with her.
I know. I'm sorry.
It is all okay, and I appreciate any full Jimmy wrestling that comes my way. It's just a good thing that I am here today. I appreciate the freedoms I am granted to still be able to podcast after being labeled a known terrorist.
So, wait, I have a question. How was the Megabus trip back from Orlando?
Yeah. Well, let's just say this. The fingers of freedom.
Blue gloves of freedom.
Were not the only ones I received.
It was a homeless man named Keith.
Yep.
He had just gotten out of rehab in Pensacola.
And I can tell you this, his hygiene efforts would not have been approved by Vermin Supreme.
Oh,
gosh. He was at the booth across, like, Caddy Corner for me.
Oh, he was a blast.
Yeah, the man that wears the boot isn't a terrorist. But
no.
the guy that wants to make America great again is a clear Osama bin Laden sympathizer.
Now, to be fair.
To be fair, again, odd word choice.
I You were like boarding the, I think you were on the plane when I posted it.
I was in line and I checked in, and then shocking, a guy that's been on the show, Sam Goldstein, a libertarian here in Indiana, we were on the same flight and he comes up to me and, you know, but our plane had been delayed about 30 minutes, but I hadn't been checking my phone because it was about to die.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't, I'm totally unaware of this, of the delay or anything that's going on until I arrive in Orlando and I'm able to charge up my phone and I'm like, holy shit. Holy
Do, like, do we know for certain, because, so when I posted the keywords, I thought, all right, he's like on the plane.
Nope, I would have been had the keywords not been posted.
But see, you were like, it would have been around the, when did I post them? What point of your flight were you on?
It was, so it was right, but like, it was when we were supposed to board, and then we were unable to board.
But see, how could they move that fast?
I don't know. I'm not saying it was you. I'm saying that it's oddly coincidental.
Correlation
that all this
does
went
not
down.
Equal causation.
I'm totally taking credit.
I would too. I mean, it definitely enhances your persona as a Jimmy Rustler, a known rustler of the Jimmies. It's just that, you know, luckily, you know, I'm happy to not be in Guantanamo.
I thought when I posted it, I was like, this will just be really funny. There's nothing.
Indefinite detainment. Allegations of being pro ISIS.
who would have actually thought that that would have actually gotten back to the NSA, to be fair? To be fair.
Yeah, they don't monitor social media at all.
No.
No, there's it's totally
not when
unlikely.
You tweet directly at them.
It's totally
they never
unlikely there's
that.
Not a paid monitoring person of We Are Libertarians that is an NSA, you know, analyst.
I am responsible for that, but I will not apologize. John should apologize for the Photoshop of Greg next to Bin Laden and him tweeting that to
Southwest Airlines, Homeland Security, and the TSA.
And the NSA.
Oh, you know, this was one of the best stories that I told by the whole time. That we were down in Orlando.
Oh, this is a great story.
Yeah.
It's
oh, yeah,
so
we
great.
Told it so
it's the greatest story.
Well, it is so fun.
It is so funny. There's never been a greater story.
This guy we know that's a libertarian, guess what? Hilarious. He convinced the TSA
hilarious
he was
meme.
A terrorist. Hysterical.
It really is.
Oh.
It's funny if it's not you.
Like you didn't try to get me back later at dinner.
I didn't try to. Oh, by comparison,
really?
That is innocuous.
No, that's easily the worst thing I've ever done to anybody in hindsight.
Yeah,
like
all I did was Brett had noticed one of the tinfoil caucus of the Libertarian Party nationally, and who happened to recognize Brett came up and decided to sit with Brett, Chloe, and I as we were enjoying dinner. And at a certain point, I was like, "Well, this is justified." So I'm going to start asking her all these questions about her life story. And continually turn it back to Brett so that Brett has to sit here and listen to this lady's sob story and her adventures in libertarianism. And all because I knew that Brett, in his role as the chairman or the director for Advocates of Self-Government, he cannot afford to alienate a single libertarian. He has to sit there and take it. And so by comparison, that was very, very innocuous. Considering
it was on par with my participation.
Uh-huh. You're either with us or against us. You're the axis of evil. You're in the axis of evil.
He put Allahu Akbar
he
on
did.
This thing. Don't forget.
Which is arguably as bad as any other word.
I was just welcoming. I was just sharing my love from the group that you guys added me to.
Uh-huh.
After Nick and I were at
Don't
the,
add me. I had
Indianapolis
nothing to do
Motor
with
Speedway,
adding you
kissing
to,
the bricks.
Hey, just because you love Allah.
Just because you're on the path to Jannah.
Yeah.
It does not mean. Uh-huh. So
I was unaware.
Someone there's this Facebook. We have a Muslim friend, Amir. He's a friend of the show. He's been on before, and Amir.
He's the first ever wall ISIS listener,
right? And Amir sent. He put us all in this group called the Path to Jannah, and it is a group of faithful Muslims. And Aaron Ewert, our buddy, went in there one day and posted. He took this photo of Nick Sarwark and Brett kissing the bricks at the Speedway, and it looks like they're kneeling to pray in Islam. And as he's kneeling down, so he photoshopped the Taj Mahal behind it,
right?
Or something.
Isn't even
a
right.
Terrible cultural
right.
Misappropriation. Right. That was wrong.
Right?
Yes, and very wrong.
Posted into the Path to Jannah that he had saved brother Brett, and that Brett had become a Muslim.
Not a
It was Aaron that
it
did
was Aaron,
it.
Yeah.
And so Aaron was like this superstar. They're like, who's this blonde-haired, blue-eyed white guy that is converting people to Islam? We have found the one.
The
great,
Captain America convert of ISIS.
The great white hope is upon us. And
inshallah, Brother Aaron.
For like how many weeks your mom called asking if you really converted to Islam?
I get asked about it every once in a while. So
many people want to come on this show, Greg.
Yeah.
It's just people ask. They go, yeah. Can I come on We Are Libertarians? Can I be part of the crew? You don't
no,
want any of this.
You don't want this.
No. It is not for the faint of heart.
No.
The threat of being detained indefinitely as a, you know, a real treasonous, you know, state terrorist of the state. You know, I flirted right the line. I, you know, like you got right up to the line. Luckily, my pro-Trump support probably saved me from being detained. But
you were wearing your Make America Great Again hat.
I'm so lucky that I bought that freaking hat. Otherwise, right now, it would be me and the Sheikh talking about, you know, how he would mastermind 9/11 with Brett Bittner.
To be fair, I just thought that you would land, see it, and have a good laugh. Right. I never anticipated that that they would act so quickly that they could delay the plane and steal all your toiletries.
After everything Edward Snowden has told us, you shockingly thought, oh, surely this won't get noticed. Who's watching?
Exactly.
Who's watching?
Who's watching us?
Who's watching us?
Apparently a lot of people, because they all came up and talked to me at the convention.
I know, yeah. Which is very nice. And yeah. I am glad you got recognized for your article. And they recognized you as Chloe and Agnos from We Are Libertarians.
Yeah.
And I was recognized at least as many times as Little Brett Bittner as I was for my political resume and accomplishments. Thank you very much, Chris Spengel.
You're welcome.
It was awesome.
Bittnering at his own pace.
At my own pace.
Ruining lives. That's making friends and ruining lives.
I can't believe you actually, now that you are the District 3 rep, you decided to come back.
Well,
now there are,
I've got t-shirts to sell.
That's true.
tchip.com/neverbittner.
We are all whores to capitalism.
$5 from each shirt goes to Wall.
Shut up, Aaron.
What's going on now?
Don't forget when Chris gave Greg's phone number out too.
Yep. I remember that.
Great.
I mean, two strategic strikes compared to hundreds of memes.
Hundreds of memes which were designed to be helpful. Whose intent was to raise you to prominence, not to get you sent to Guantanamo.
Six of one, half a dozen of another. Yeah,
some say, hey, build me up so I'm a celebritarian. Some say, you have no rights. Inshallah.
Are you fine?
I'm fine.
Are you okay?
My jimmies remain unrustled.
All right, good.
Yes.
I don't want this to come between us.
It is not going to come between us because ultimately I went to Disneyland where they would have... Shockingly, the security at Disneyland is about 10 times more strict than getting on an airplane.
Seriously.
Okay.
I was fingerprinted three times and searched three times.
You're
just
kidding
to even
me.
Get into Epcot.
How
seriously?
Thoroughly?
Everyone was.
How thoroughly were you
searched?
It's
just the bags, but the fingerprinting is three times.
I wouldn't. I would be like, nope, sorry.
Well, you don't have an option. It's don't go or, you know, and I'd already bought the tickets online, so it wasn't
That's
really
ridiculous.
An option.
Yeah.
Tickets. Two tickets, huh?
Two tickets.
Two tickets.
Me and the girlfriend went down.
Wait, what?
What?
A girlfriend?
Yes.
Do tell.
You already have mentioned this on the show.
Have I? On the live show?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
This is not groundbreaking news.
She's delightful.
She's very, very wonderful. Great girl. Couldn't be a bigger fan of her. And, you know, she shockingly tolerates
you?
Me. That's a great question.
I think it's the
fact that I'm technically a bad boy now that I'm on the NSA and the Homeland Security's list. It's got to be the whole bad boy thing.
When we had lunch in Orlando, that was all she could talk about.
Oh, I bet.
How hard did she laugh at that?
Shockingly, she was like, that's kind of severe. And I was like,
yeah.
Yeah. Because yeah. She was like, what all did you do to that? Like, what all did you do to him? And I'm like, well, like, yeah, like I made embarrassing memes, but it was never... The point was to generate attention, never to make people think that he had sex with Justin Bieber. You know? I mean, because then I would have spent much more time making it look professional rather than, you know, making you, you know, it looked such, as Aaron Ewart would say, it was a shit meme, you know, because I didn't want people to think it was real. But she was like, did you do something like really to deserve this? And I was like, you know.
No, you
probably not, because
no.
I don't think I'd done anything lately that was bad, you know, and then, like, I don't think I'd done, like, you know, any of your relationships in the past, I'd ever done anything to, like, alienate the girl, I don't think.
No, honestly, had I known that there were actually going to be ramifications of any type, I wouldn't have done it at all.
I have the receipt for the $37 I spent replacing my toiletries that we will that I'm just going to keep and hold over your head because I don't want it to be repaid.
Listeners,
I want it to be my leverage every time.
Go to wearelibertarians.com, hit PayPal, $37 to help refund.
No, 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 no. Listeners, do not, because I want to have the high ground on this and use this repeatedly as that I forewent my vengeance.
You know, we're only $2 away from the last time I checked on the Never Bittner t-shirt.
Shut up.
Every dollar spent on a Never Bittner t-shirt adds a dollar to what that charge is going to be to repay my toiletries.
I did something for Jeremiah recently, and he goes, "Ah, this is the first time your friendship has ever not cost me money." Which is true.
That snarky little bastard.
I know. So, well, I do apologize.
It is all in good fun.
It was. I had no idea that it would actually, like, there would be ramifications to my jackassery.
It was all in good fun. All is well. I am still a known great American. And so, yeah. Other than maybe having to not brush my teeth one night, it's no biggie.
Now,
I know.
Now, TSA, NSA, we know you're listening. It was just some tomfoolery. Yes, we should take national security more seriously, but we're libertarians.
Those toxic meme boys ruining the security apparatus.
We love America. Look at the table cover.
I was going to mention.
It's covered in flags. We love America.
Very patriotic all of a sudden.
So,
I will say that the TSA is a joke, though.
Why? So,
because they're terrible.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You should share with Chris what happened when we were on our way back.
What? What about on our way back?
We were all raring to go to opt out.
Oh, yeah. We were like super ready to opt out. There were little kids screaming everywhere. It was a nightmare for people that had kids. And Brett and I are just standing there. And they're like, no, you come through this line. So we didn't even go through the body scanner. They just put us through.
Wow.
The metal detector.
It must have been my libertarian shirt that I was wearing.
Right.
Probably. Yeah.
They'd been harassed enough by all now, the libertarians leaving.
Now, I hope I haven't made a bad impression on Mrs. Gregory Lynn's.
What was that?
I hope I haven't made a bad impression on your girlfriend.
No,
because we've never gotten a chance to talk. She doesn't know how wonderful I am.
She doesn't know. No, no. She hears me talk about you guys all the time.
All right.
Yeah. I mean,
well, that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. No, but I tell the worst things about my friends to their face, and then I am your biggest defender to other people. You know how I am. You know my thoughts on the subject is that. You know, I only am the one that gets to talk bad about my friends. If you dare do it, I'm burning down the entire house and making sure you are never allowed at any event I'm at again.
If it makes you feel better, you made my afternoon. Because when you checked in at CVS that night, I thought that was a joke.
No, the next morning.
The next morning, whatever it was, I thought that was the funniest comeback you could have had. I had no idea you were serious.
That was all real.
Speaking of CVS, they must have known that the libertarians were coming.
Uh-huh.
Walgreens must have known because they had fedoras on sale. Two for ten.
Two for ten.
Chloe and I had our little m'lady pose pictures I think we shared with you guys. As we took pictures of each other. It was fantastic.
It's very good.
That was a good time.
Proud of you guys. Mm. All of you. You did a great job. Special thanks to Christy Avery. I failed to mention earlier that I am talking to the Christy Avery microphone, which Ooh. Sounds magnificent now. And Christy did yeoman's work down at the national convention. She took down, was it like 1,500 flyers and passed them out and put them on tables?
Yeah, she did a great job.
Yeah, and we gained like 500 new Facebook likes. I haven't looked at the subscriber count, but she really helped us promote down there. I couldn't get down there. It was the 100th running of the Indianapolis 500. That is
priorities.
Yeah, but that's like that's like a family event. Like that's the one thing that my dad and brother and I do together ever. And so I wasn't going to miss that in the 100th. And it was early in the day. Race day was a great day. I had a great day until like 4 o'clock. That was a great day. After that,
that was about when I think my day took a turn as well.
Yeah. You want to compare? So.
No. No, I think everybody's seen the reaction to what happened.
Yeah. So, it would with James Weeks. Yeah. Yep. Thank God my reaction wasn't on C-SPAN.
That would be to my a GIF turn. Wouldn't have been nearly enough.
Yeah.
But that's okay. That's all right. We liberty on.
Yep, we do.
Onward and upward.
So, So yes, I could not make it. I had few people text and say, "Hey, are you here? I want to meet you." And I wish I could have gone. I will go to the next one in 2 years from now in New Orleans. I've always wanted to go to New Orleans, so I'm gonna make a real trip out of it. But
if we let you.
I heard people were coming up to, if somebody found out at Liberty and Chill this Friday, Dorn said, "Yeah, when people find out that I'm from Indiana, people start talking about we are libertarians. They ask if you know Greg. They ask if you know Spangle. Like, apparently, we're a hot ticket item in the libertarian world, which surprises me.
I mean, I was very not that I don't think Wall is great, because I think it is, but I just wasn't surprised. I was surprised that there are that many people from around the country that listen. I mean, we hung out with Travis McCurry.
Yep.
From South Carolina.
Your cousin.
My cousin, who's awesome. He's not really my cousin.
Oh.
I just made him sit next to me at one of the debates.
Times,
and I basically was like, "Hey, pretend you're my cousin."
So I like that she, the Wall listener, was the least creepy one. That's progress, Greg.
Well, I feel like that. You know, we creep shame enough of the radical caucus that they aren't our listener base. And I feel like, you know, with Brett being an established figure in the party, and then you being an established figure in the party, and then me, I guess, being a scumbag Republican that is sort of tolerable to the status libertarian.
Now that you're on a list, you're an icon.
Schindler's?
Oh, my gosh.
No, but it's humbling, because it's like you said, it's shocking that people would dedicate their time to listen to our opinions. Because,
yeah.
we aren't nationally prominent authorities. You know, we do this as a hobby, not as a career, but although politics is our passion and libertarianism is our passion.
Yeah.
I mean, it's humbling that people would think, or we produce something that they find worthy of their time and look forward to.
Yeah, because it's just this little thing that we do once a week and we enjoy it, and it's
cathartic,
our hobby.
It's nice to get together with friends and talk about the issues in the press and in the liberty movement, and then at the same time joke about it.
Yeah. I mean, it's great to hear that people across the country are listening. You know, we see it in the numbers, but it's nice to put faces to names.
It is always, come up and say hi.
Yeah, so when you see these guys, Brett and Chloe go out far more than Greg and I do, join the Facebook group, go to WeAreLibertarians.com, you can join the group and meet other listeners. If you listen, interact with us, get on the Facebook group, get on the Twitter. I mean, everybody else is approachable, me not as much, but...
are the king of all...
I am the president of all libertarians. I have very little time to devote to my subjects. I am busy running libertarianism and my sad, pitiful life. So,
well, it is. I mean, it's nice when you hear that, though, that it is not sad and pitiful, because this does have opportunity cost for anything you do, because it takes time away from other elements of your life. And so to know
and then
that
when
it's,
people listen, they hold it against you.
Yeah, they do. They will hold it against you. They will. I mean, it is true. There is an opportunity cost, but we still do it anyway, because one, we like it.
Yep.
But two, it's we make a choice.
No, I will say this. This is a genuine Chris Spangle. Let me put on my serious voice here for a minute. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you. As I reflect how many changes I've gone through over the last 2.5 years, and how hard life has been for 2 years as I've gone through, I went to the doctor on Friday, and the doctor said, I hadn't been to the doctor since like 2009, and so he was just asking me, hey, what have you been up to? How are things going? And I said, well, things have been this happened. He just like stood there and looked at me, and he goes, okay, so like on the stress scale, you've had literally everything happen to you in the top like 7, with the exception of a death of a loved one. And you're doing remarkably well. And I said, thanks. Thanks a lot. And the majority of the reason is we are libertarians. And it's because not just because of the listeners, not just because this gives me something to do. You know, when I'm having a bad day, I get to play with all my equipment. I just pull out my equipment and start playing with it, Chloe.
What is that a euphemism for there, Chris?
My wiener. And, most importantly, it is the relationships that I built with Greg, first and foremost. Greg is my best friend.
Yeah, and Chris is mine.
And I do regret putting you through, like, if I thought it was actually going to cause you harm and you were mad, I would actually legitimately apologize.
Oh, yeah.
I do. But because Greg has been my most important friend over the last 2 years, especially in keeping me sane, and, the 20 other people that do this, I was texting with Gina the other day. Saturday, Maya was over, and Maya and I had a very difficult heart-to-heart conversation on creating Maya, a podcast that you can get in iTunes or whatever. But the friendships that I have forged out of this group of people have kept me alive because I have been, you know, I'm not trying to oversell it or be overdramatic. I mean, it has been very difficult going through a divorce, going through major life shifts.
Doing this publicly while trying to grow.
Yeah, and trying to figure out how to be a person. I'm a raging codependent, and I didn't know that till a year ago, and I'm trying to figure out how to be a grown-up in public, because part of being codependent is attention-seeking as a way to cope. So a podcast is a terrible decision.
Yeah,
if you're trying
it's an enabling decision.
Right. So yeah. And you know, I had a breakup this week, and it has been extremely difficult and sad, and my We Are Libertarians friends have really been there for me, and it's great. Thank you. Now Chloe's touching me. It's great. Thank you.
Creepertarian intensifies.
I knew she liked me. Like, so, yeah, it's just been such a great experience over these last four and a half years to do this and to get to know so many of you. And so to the people that came up, to everybody from Indiana, to the people that came up and talked to the cast or have sent us notes over the years, and especially the people who've donated, you know, this equipment that we've got is being built out on donations from the audience just because you like what we do.
Right.
If we weren't here, you'd miss us. And
we would miss you.
100%. And so we've got a couple of computers that were donated to us this week. We're gonna I'm working on a live stream. I'm working on a phone bank so we can take phone calls. So we're just trying to expand out our capabilities to do this bigger and better for us and for you. And so we want to thank you. So when you donate, when you buy equipment, or when you just send in a note, you know, you're contributing to something that is incredibly impactful in our lives. It is meaningful to us. And hopefully what we do is meaningful to you. It surprises us when it is. I know that Maya, the Creating Maya show, you know, as influential, I think, as this show has been in the lives of several libertarians, maybe dozens, possibly 100 libertarians across over the last 4 years, the Creating Maya show has been huge in normalizing people's experiences with trans people. You know, if you know, it's like the Milk reference, the movie Milk. You know, if you know a gay person, then you're less, you're less ignorant of gay people. You, your cousin, your brother, your sister, your mom is gay. You have less fear and biases towards gay people. And it's the same with the Creating Maya show. The people who listen to that understand Maya's transition. They understand, I think, after this last episode, why Maya is so angry. And the emotional hell that it is to be her. But yeah, and this group of podcasts and people has allowed us to do that. So just want to thank you guys. It's really been a meaningful couple months to everybody. And the convention, post-convention episode with what you guys have shared with us in Orlando was very meaningful. So thank you very much.
Anytime.
Thanks, Chloe. Chloe,
just take all the credit, Chloe.
Yeah. I'll just take all of it.
That's Bittner's job.
That's trying to upstage him.
Right.
Assisting me at her own pace.
It's the 48 Laws of Power. Number one is never outshine the master, okay?
Oh, sorry.
If you haven't read Robert Greene, Chloe, you need to read Robert Greene. It's life-changing stuff.
I do.
So we don't necessarily have a topic. This is more of a recap of what has happened in Orlando. So we talked a little bit about your personal experiences, and we can kind of finish up there. I mean, we'll kind of go down the table and wrapping up our, you know, what our perception of Orlando was like. We have the special episode from Orlando. So, Chloe, this was your first one. Other than the Creepitarians, I mean, what was kind of the vibe of the convention?
I really enjoyed the amount of energy that was there. The media attention was really cool. I mean, just seeing crews from ABC and MSNBC and CNBC and, you know, New York Times. I mean, everyone was there. So that was really cool. I talked to a bunch of people that, were reporters or producers or just, you know, cameramen that were just kind of wandering around looking at all the vendor tables. 'Cause I was there, with the advocates selling merchandise and giving the quiz out to people. But I just thought that was really neat, and I've never been to any national political convention ever. And I think regardless of party, it might be kind of cool to go to another one, just because to feel that amount of energy, it kind of reminded me of being at like a Colts game or being at finals night for Miss Indiana when you're like in that audience.
There's a I mean, reference that everybody can really grasp onto, Chloe.
Finals night at Miss Indiana.
And it sounds an awful lot like what somebody wrote after they got back from Orlando and talking about energy and events.
Was that somebody named Brett Bittner?
It was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Somebody happened to copy edit it. They seemed to have lifted a couple things for themselves and presented them as their
own. I agreed with everything that you're saying.
Some say there copy and lifted. Some said made it great again.
And I'll go with the latter. But yeah, it was just really cool. It was really cool to be there. It was tiring at some points just because, I mean, I would get to the table, people are coming out, and it's hard for me, and I'm trying to like find this balance of being better at like being like on throughout the day and like actively listening and like trying to have conversations with people and, you know, just getting better about that.
So what's your deal?
So what's your deal? Exactly.
Right.
You want to take the quiz?
You want to take the quiz?
Now,
you want a couple quiz cards?
Is it true that you guys did not have an OPH kit out at Orlando?
No, we didn't.
We didn't.
That was a controversy.
That was not our focus. Our focus was helping grow the advocates and getting to know some of the people that support us. And we ran some specials on books to help drive that. We had a couple giveaways. Mm-hmm. You know, we continue to do the Freedom is My Favorite F-Word sticker. We continue to do that promotion, but we also unveiled a new sticker that Chloe came up with that is absolutely wonderful, that's kind of leaning towards the ladies and Star Child.
What does it say?
It says...
is it a rape whistle?
No. No, this is actually really, really nice.
You weirdos. No.
No, I'm saying, like, you know, as protection for the ladies of liberty.
No.
Okay, I just thought it might be helpful.
But I'll keep that in mind for next time when we have a brainstorming session. No, it's a white sticker, and it says, lover of liberty and lipstick. And it's written so, like, it looks like you literally, like, took a tube of lipstick and like, wrote it out.
Nice.
It's really cute.
It's an awesome sticker.
And a lot of people really liked it. So.
It's adorbs.
It's totally adorable. And if you go to my Instagram, which is just at Chloe_Anagnos, you can totally see one and maybe order one eventually.
Totally. Apparently, we built a self-promotional platform.
Yeah.
What was your first clue? That's the whole point of this.
Where do you think I learn it from?
Yeah.
For those of you who are just listening and not watching the live stream, she was pointing at me.
Right. Thanks for pointing that out.
I try. But
Hashtag never bitten her.
Never bitten her. It was just really cool and humbling to have people that come up and recognize Brett and I, not only just for like wall stuff, which was like crazy, but for stuff that we do too.
Right. I mean, you guys are the biggest, I would argue the most influential of the libertarian organizations within, I mean, as far as identifying and forming and ushering into the party, new libertarians, from hell, virtually every avenue. And so, you know, I would agree with your decision about that purpose, you know, what the point was, because offering the quiz at a libertarian convention seems
it's not very much fun.
Redundant.
No.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, the last thing we want to do is turn it into, you know, we don't want the national party to turn into something where it's a dick measuring contest of how libertarian you are. It's about we've crossed that threshold of trying to, you know, trying to maintain purity where we're trying to create big tent libertarianism. You know, and I commend you for it and sticking to your guns on that, because that could not be more important and a better thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, what we do here is we're trying to be nonpartisan, you know? We're trying to...
and we are as well.
And so same with the advocates.
You guys are a discovery organization, and that's what the focus has to be, except when you're in an event like that, it's about, you know, it's about more than that. It isn't about discovery at that point. It's about we've arrived, and we're going to take this organization forward from here.
Yep.
And the next step for us is actually going to be something that hopefully we'll be able to talk about here in a couple episodes, where we talk about the... what's after the quiz. We're very excited with what we saw today, and looking really, really good.
I haven't, I know what you're talking about. I haven't seen the videos, but yeah, I think it's going to be hugely influential for libertarianism once that is finished. Little Brett Bittner,
Yes, sir.
So this is your, what, 10th?
This was my fourth consecutive convention.
Okay.
I've from St. Louis to now, I have been to all of them. And this one was really, really different.
Really?
Really different. And a lot of what Chloe talked about, and I joked about her lifting some of these thoughts, but seriously, it was a very energetic, very exciting time. There was a buzz from the time that we set things up Thursday through even the end of the LNC meeting that I took part in. And even while we were at the airport, we had people that were excited about Gary Johnson. They were excited about the, it was amazing to see how many people were just interested. And a lot of it had to do with the contested convention, you know, the contested nomination. A lot of it had to do with just the fact that it's the biggest turnout there's ever been at a Libertarian National Convention. I believe at the time of the presidential votes, to let you know what a libertarian nerd I am, I actually went back and watched some of the C-SPAN coverage because Crystal has become a crazy fangirl of Nick Sarwark. And she wanted to show me all these things during the second day of the convention that was on C-SPAN that she basically sat around and watched on C-SPAN.
Right.
She wanted to show me all of the things that really impressed her about him. But
that's
the,
cute.
The overall convention... So that vote, right before the presidential nomination, there were 997 eligible to vote. And the way that the convention is designed is that there would be 1,000 maximum.
Wow.
And then that was about as good as my voice crack on C-SPAN.
Hello.
I love Liberty, guys.
Hi, girls.
It's our time.
But seeing how many different perspectives there were, seeing the energy around the Freedom Ninjas that were supporting Austin Peterson, the Voice and Exit surreal performance art surrounding John McAfee's campaign, the excitement over with the very pure message of Daryl Perry. And you guys didn't see it, but Dr. Feldman, I mean, he really had an opportunity to have a Bednarik moment at the convention because it just seemed like everything was hitting for him. I mean, everything just went so well. And, you know, when he ran around the room after getting enough tokens, he ran around the convention hall after he got enough tokens to be in the debates. And it was like he'd won a spot on the floor of The Price is Right.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, he was running around like crazy.
To give you an example of how much heat he had, so last night for my girlfriend's mother's birthday, we had dinner, and her dad was like a huge Feldman fan after watching it on C-SPAN and was like chanting, Feldman, 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 and loved the rap.
Yeah, the rap was awesome.
You want to tell him what happened after breakfast? The story with the pedestrian?
Oh, okay. So, that was actually before breakfast. So the one speaker that I wanted to hear was Tim Moen. He's the leader of the Libertarian Party of Canada.
Yes.
Kick his ass out.
Yes.
That wall just got 10 feet higher.
Gotta go. Gotta go back.
I'm not joking. I'm not trolling Chris. I promise. This guy really is leader of the Libertarian Party of Canada. And right before this was Sunday morning, I had been up very, very late Wednesday night and Thursday night and Friday night and Saturday night and gotten up early every morning. But this was the morning that I got up at 6:30 to make sure I went to this breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And Tim Moen was the speaker. And right as we were about to get started, somebody came into the ballroom where he was speaking and asked if there's anybody with medical training. And I knew that in his real life, outside of his political life, that Tim Moen is a firefighter paramedic in Canada, in Alberta.
Right.
Because we're friends on Facebook and I followed kind of his story and getting to know him. And I happened to see that Dr. Feldman was in the room as well. And so there was apparently a pedestrian versus car hit and run incident right outside the exhibition hall on the backside of the convention hotel. And they were looking for people to help administer first aid while they waited for the paramedics to arrive. And so libertarians doing what libertarians do when people are in need, both Tim and Dr. Feldman broke into a run.
Nah.
Granted, Tim is literally being introduced to speak. They both broke into a run to go out and assist the person that had been hit by the car.
Wow.
And it's exactly what I talk about a lot in walking the walk and not outsourcing responsibility. That's literally what they were doing. They used the training that they had to go and help somebody that was in need. And we talked about it, I think it was the night before in the debate, where it was mentioned that, you know, it doesn't matter what's happening. If you see somebody that's in need, you see a kid drowning, you could be on your way to your wedding in your wedding dress or your tuxedo, but you see a kid that's drowning, you're not going to, you know, you're going to stop what you're doing and you're going to help them.
Right.
And this was an amazing example of that actually happening. You know, there are small things that people can do. You know, they see somebody on the side of the road that needs their tire changed, or, you know, they're out of gas and they've got a gas can, they go and help somebody out. Or, you know, somebody's been, you know, they've been sleeping in their car in a parking lot because they didn't have any gas, and you give them a tank so they can get where they're going. You know, those are little things that people can do. But this was an excellent example of people who had the ability that immediately responded, didn't think about what was happening. Dr. Feldman should have been campaigning. Tim Moen should have been speaking. And instead, they did what libertarians do. And they were helping people in need.
Right. I mean, that's what gives, I mean, I don't know if you probably feel the same way. That's what gives me great hope for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a human, like, there's a disaversion, I guess, to witnessing human suffering. And time after time, it's, you know, answering that call to arms in the absence of anyone else being there to do it.
Yeah. So I'm on a oversharing. It's not necessarily oversharing because I want to make a point. I'm not. She like leaned away when I said oversharing.
I'm just trying to like give you some space. I'm not gonna. I wasn't sure if you're gonna put your elbow out or I don't know.
I'm not gonna overshare that on you. so I went to an Al-Anon meeting. So that is the meeting that you go to when you're the loved one of an alcoholic, and it is a support group. And I went last night with a friend, and you know, I have a loved one that's an alcoholic or was, that impacted me significantly, that made me a codependent. And so, you know, I felt like I need to go to a meeting. So I went to a meeting last night and I shared my story. I'm sitting in a room of people who are 35 years older than I am. I mean, the majority of them are near 70 or older. And there's probably 10 of them. And I have no idea. I know nothing about them other than what they shared before, which was their experience. And in sharing my story, at the end of the meeting, there was a massive outpouring of empathy and care and love and support. And you're not alone. I have those same emotions. I know I look older than you, but you're in the right place because this is exactly what I go through with my loved one, you know. And I just walked away from that going, wow, okay, this is one of the most fundamental principles of libertarianism, is that when we tell our stories, when we're vulnerable, because in a government system, you just go and you punch a button and you get the thing out of the machine. You know,
it's transactional.
It's transactional. Right, there's no human element to it. But in a libertarian society, there is a human element. You have to tell your story. You have to be vulnerable. You have to share of yourself with other people to get help. And when you do that, you have a richer life. You have people that don't know you caring for you because you're just another human being. And after I finished my story, I said, and I'm done. And the lady next to me goes, welcome to the human race. And I walked away from that going, not only did I feel amazing because I had gotten the poison out and I had, you know, made a few new friends and I had a new support system, I walked away going, see, this is why libertarianism can work. Because when we share our stories, when we are vulnerable, when we, you know, are in need and other human beings see suffering in a person, they rise up to the occasion and help. Plain and simple. So that you know, I think that that's part of what Rupert's story at the last We Are Libertarians Live was about. You know, it is seeing your fellow man,
as a fellow man.
Yeah, don't worry that if you get rid of government, there will be a safety net.
There
and
is.
It's us.
It might
and
not...
we will do a much better job than
absolutely.
What we have right now.
Yeah, I'll tell you, do you guys know Bart Gatta? He's the chairman of Vandenberg County Party?
No.
I had lunch with him.
Yeah, you had lunch with Bart. Yeah, you met Bart. So Bart's amazing. Like, I've never met anybody like him who lives liberty. I mean, he is amazing in what he does. So he actually tried to get the Libertarian, or no, let's see, what was it? There's a thing called Keep Evansville Beautiful that we participated in Saturday morning where people come out with the mayor and pick up trash. He does this on Saturdays alone with his kids to teach them there's nothing wrong with going around and picking up trash and like just stopping on the side of the interstate to go and pick it up. And that's their duty as citizens. And that's what spreads libertarianism, is that example of living it where we don't need to wait for a government organization designed at collecting trash to arise.
Yep.
We need to take the responsibility and that self-ownership of our communities as well and extend that out. And just time and time again, I mean, he does that over and over without asking for the thanks or trying to start a government-funded coalition or not-for-profit. He just will pull over on the side of the road if he sees trash on a Saturday, take his kids and say, hey, we're going to go clean it up. And he tried to do it with the parks in Evansville. He wanted to take the people to take over the parks.
That was a great story.
You know, calling out the mayor as a coward for not being able, you know, and getting the mayor to respond to it by saying, I am not a coward. All because he went out and is wanted to take care of it himself and take that responsibility on himself when he's, you know, he already works a job and is involved in the Libertarian Party, which you guys all know.
Yeah.
That is an enormous commitment of time. It is, and it can be soul sucking.
Yeah.
Because it is never easy. There's nothing easy about organizing libertarians and keeping your emotions aside and not letting that get you down. And so to still have time to live liberty as well as having the time to go ahead and clean up our communities and take ownership, it's, you know, it's impressive. And that's the example I know I never reach. I talk about living liberty, but I rarely do.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was nice to... Well, actually, it wasn't nice because it was a reminder of how crappy of a libertarian I am. But it's nice to know that that's the standard that is being lived and followed.
Right.
And it gives me hope for, you know, we can convince people we don't need these institutions designed to relieve them of their guilt or to let them just throw dollars away and make
outsource that responsibility. Yeah, that's
make
what
it
we
an inhuman experience. So back to the convention.
So back away from reality, let's get back to the Libertarian Convention.
Yeah.
So
no more feels, just stripping naked bearded men.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Okay, let's talk about it.
I was fit to be tied over. So the last two Saturdays, not this past Saturday. Yeah, no, this last Saturday. No, not this last Saturday, but the two Saturdays before that.
Mm-hmm.
We have a feed called Raw Audio Politics and the Gary Johnson for President feed, where I take basically YouTube videos, rip the audio, and then put them in a podcast feed so we can all keep up with what he's saying, what he's doing, and as well as other debates, other speeches. And I was just going through a bunch of different things, and I was pulling audio from the National Convention and putting that up in the Raw Audio Politics feed, and I listened to the chairs debate. And Mark Rutherford did an amazing job, friend of ours, been on the show. Nick Sarwark, friend of the show, been in the feed. He's a great guy.
Well, he was our friend until he met Aaron Ewert.
Yep.
Who mistook him for some county chair in rural Indiana.
Brett Pajonas, who I think has done a great job with the Libertarian Party of Nevada. I know him somewhat. I don't know him as well as I know the other two. I don't know Charles Perallo that well, but he seemed to have some ideas.
He actually ended up not running for chair.
Oh, okay.
He saw that there were... I think he saw the writing on the wall that somebody who's not been involved in leadership, not been involved in his state, couldn't really become chair of a national party.
Gotcha. And then there was James Weeks, who in that debate was full of
nakedness.
Radical bumper sticker talk. I mean, it just wasn't
libertarianism stripped raw.
Right. So there is a caucus within the Libertarian Party called the Radical Caucus, and it is a group of people who are by and large anarchists and who
they're the black and yellow libertarian.
Yeah, and they have their definite view, and there's definitely a block, and James Weeks was their candidate for chair, and he was saying everything he could to try and maintain their support, but not really offering any valid ideas for the party that he wasn't even coming close to matching the top three, I'll say.
No, leadership requires a vision and a plan.
Well, right. Okay, so I do have to share something about the Radical Caucus. They did endorse Nick for chair. So it wasn't like he was put up to it by the caucus, like James was.
Fair.
I believe that it had more to do with the fraud perpetrated on the party.
Right.
To have the incident that happened Sunday.
So, James...
Before we get into it, I need to make sure we're not shining for the
No, otherwise. You look great. You look beautiful. The resolution's pretty low. Now... The
libertarianism is best viewed in low resolution.
Yes.
James Weeks proved that.
So this guy is, he looks like me. He's chubby. He's obese. He's very ugly. He is a scourge among men. He has scabies. I heard he has sex with his cousin.
Jeez.
None of that is true.
None of that is true.
He is overweight, but that's not a
crime.
He's
a big guy. Right. I'm a big guy. Greg's a big guy. You're a big guy. No biggie.
Chloe's a big guy, be fair.
Yeah, I am.
Don't microaggress.
All right.
Now,
don't
where's your iron cross?
Don't categorize her.
What happened, Brett Bittner?
So, Sunday, we're in the midst of the nominating speeches for the chair candidates. And Brett Pajunas goes first. He goes through. He has his folks that are rah-rah Brett. And, you know, you have several minutes to speak. I don't remember which amount for which office and which race, because it's, I can never keep it all straight in my head. I'm glad that we have somebody that does and has it written down somewhere so that we can keep it all straight. But it got to his time, and he didn't have anybody on stage with him. Usually you have people speaking in support of you. He didn't have anybody up there with him, and he said, you know, we've been, it's time for a little fun, I think is what he said right before he turned the music on, on his cell phone and placed it by the microphone. And I was down with that. I'm down with the dancing. I'm down with having fun. I mean, if I get to the point where I'm not having fun, then I'm going to quit.
Yeah. Like, this is fun for us, so that's why we do Weird Libertarians. And if it's not fun, then we're going to quit.
Exactly.
Right.
And, you know, I have fun in the boardroom. I have fun with what I do with the advocates. I have fun when I, you know, people invite me to speak.
Brett Bittner, fun in the boardroom, fun in the bedroom. High five!
Chloe. No.
Come on, Chloe.
No.
No.
You know what I'm talking about, Brett Bittner.
No. So
high five.
So yeah.
Great success.
At the point where I'm no longer having fun is when I'm going to be done.
Right.
There have been times where that has been tried, and I have been tried, but I'm still having fun, so I'm still here.
Hasn't stopped being fun yet, that date doesn't look all that far off. Some days it looks very close.
Some days it looks like it's today.
Yep.
Other days, not so much.
It's usually when you're on We Are Libertarians that it tends to look right around the corner.
Yeah. It's like, oh gosh.
What's the point?
Yeah. You guys. So we get, he's up there and he's dancing and I'm cool. I'm clapping along. And then the tie comes off and I'm like, okay, please don't
I've seen this SNL skit.
Yeah. Please don't let this be the Chris Farley, Chippendales, Patrick Swayze skit. And then the shirt comes off, and I'm like, oh, it is.
Yeah.
And that's when you see me react on the C-SPAN feed where I just turn my head. And I call it Sabaning because it's exactly what Nick Saban does when he sees that the center does something dumb. And
Roll Tide.
That's why I said Sabaning instead of my guy, because you're wearing the shirt.
Yes.
So when the center hikes the ball over the quarterback's head by 20 yards and he's got to chase it and fall on it, you know, you have the head coach and he's shaking his head. He's about to yell into the headset and he's about to throw the clipboard, but he just turns around, he puts his hands on his hips and he's just like, I can't believe this happened. That was me. And then I even had to look back to make sure it was actually happening.
Soul sucking disgust.
And then I walked away and it continued for another couple of minutes. And I'm just thinking the whole time, awesome.
Can't wait to be asked to comment on this one.
Because I knew that's exactly what was happening. And it happened when I was on Abdul's show. It happened. I had about 100 people within the next 24 hours that said that they saw me on the news, whether it was MSNBC or O'Reilly or Fox News, or just saw the C-SPAN coverage. So I had a couple of people who captured it and shared it with me so that we could create that wonderful GIF.
There's a GIF at the We Are Libertarians Twitter.
Yep.
It's awesome.
It is.
Unexpectedly repulsed Bittner.
Repulsing at his own pace.
Yep.
But, you know, At the end of the day, I don't know that it necessarily helps or hurts libertarianism, helps or hurts the Libertarian Party.
It's an unnecessary talking point for our detractors.
But you know what? I'm embracing a lot more of the no more excuses.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that that is just going to be another excuse that people have. It's going to be, you know, I can't vote for your guy because it means Hillary wins, or I can't vote for your guy because it means Trump wins, or I can't vote for your guy because it means Pence wins, or I can't vote for your guy because it means Greg's win. You know what? I'm tired of hearing it. I'm tired of hearing the excuses.
Like,
and
honestly,
if something like that is going to be what turns you off, then
we never hedge anyway.
Right. You were never going to, you were looking for something.
Mm-hmm.
You were looking for an excuse to not participate. You were looking for an excuse not to jump on board. You were never going to be on board. And so I don't know that it really hurts anything.
Yeah, it's a convenient out.
Right. So Joe Hauptman, the state chair of Indiana, said, you know, Dave Berglund, I think it was Dave, used to walk up to people and say, when they'd give him that excuse, go, all right, well, when you're done being a pussy, then let me know. And we can finally win.
I'm not sure that's the approach.
That's not quite what happened with and I don't know that it was Berglund, but it was something about how, well, in my heart, I'm a libertarian. And right. I think it was actually Aaron Russo, but I'm not 100% sure. Said
that sounds right.
When you're a when it gets to your balls, let me know.
Oh, okay.
I think that's the actual introduction that a lot of people have.
When you grow some balls, I think is actually what he said. Not when you're done being a pussy. That was Gary Johnson.
Oh.
You're right. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and he was talking about Trump. So,
breaking news you've seen by now, I'm sure, on your smartphone. Hillary Clinton is officially the Democratic nominee.
Oh, California results.
Yep, and officially beat Bernie Sanders. So, I was surprised at how far this striptease thing went. I mean, it was here on all the local TV stations, mm-hmm. you know, and you it is, you're right, it's an excuse. Well, they're just not taken seriously. They're just, and it's Republicans trying to, foment some sort of lack of seriousness, which couldn't be further from the truth, and it just is them trying to diminish the credibility of an actual force in politics in 2016.
And I would like to point something out, even though I am kind of a scumbag Republican. The MegaCon convention mm-hmm. was going on at the same time at the Rosen Center,
mm-hmm.
and I can't remember what news outlet it was, but, you know, MegaCon going on, there's people walking around in costumes,
yep.
you know, just looking all crazy. And I believe there was a news outlet I heard from someone that came over that had a camera pointed at some of the people that were in costumes and said, oh, yeah, these are the kinds of people that attend the Libertarian National Convention. And it's one of those things where it's like, look, OK, if you don't necessarily agree with this political party, don't go out of your way to try to discredit it.
Oh, but it's
in
only
any way
from here.
You know, oh, of course. Of course. But,
you know, a lovable side, a lovable
We're like your little cousin.
Yeah, a non-threatening, oh, aren't they entertaining? You know,
exactly. But we're beyond the laugh at us.
Well, we're at the stage now where we're a perceived real threat.
And they're mm-hmm. going to start fighting.
The two major parties have elected the two most unlikable and highest unfavorability ratings in American history as nominees of the two major parties.
Right.
The Never Trump movement's real. The Libertarians have nominated the only executive, or who's proven executive of a governing institution in American politics right now.
Two
and they have two of them, and they're both reelected in blue states. So it shows that they have an ability to reach compromise with their governing framework. The other two major parties don't. And so the light couldn't be brighter.
Yep. Yeah.
It could not be. And so I understand the stuff about, you know, I do understand it is a convenient excuse for people who are never going to join anyway, because it is.
Right.
But it also requires an absolute condemnation by the people who've spent years, because it isn't a slight to you that those people were never going to vote for us anyway. They're looking for any out.
Right.
But what he did to people that have worked very hard for no thanks, it's been a ton of money, and have spent every day bringing credibility to an organization who early on was hell-bent against receiving it, or wasn't sure if they wanted to become a major political party, if that was their long-term goal in order to affect change. And there have been so many hours and lives given for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so to do that to people that you sit side by side with, to do that to people that you know and look in the eye and meet and spend time with, and to think that it's okay to do that to them, not to the people that are going to prevent the party, is absolutely horrible. And he should be publicly chastised and humiliated because of it, or maybe privately. especially within the party, you know, maybe don't expose it. But I could not, in that moment, I couldn't believe someone that has claimed to have been working for the same goals could do that to the people he spends time with in his personal life, in his private life. He goes out on, you know, goes out trying to bring awareness to, and to decide to go that route when everything else has been rising in our favor is a shot in the stomach and in the head to a bunch of people he claims to have respect for.
Yeah. Well,
I do need to borrow a few words from my friend Nick Sarwark with regard to this issue. There are a lot of jokes in politics and people that are making light of politics. The Libertarians ejected the guy that was making a joke of our
right,
our chairman's race in that aspect of politics, but Republicans nominated their joke.
Yeah. No, yeah. I know. And I'm not criticizing.
He's making a joke of the political process, and he became the Republican nominee. At least our guy was ejected from the convention.
What?
No, and it's a stand-up to you. I'm just saying, like, I think James didn't, you know, it was handled privately.
He needs to be.
Oh, yeah, he was ejected.
Really?
Yes, he was ejected from the convention.
Deported, if you will.
Okay. And he was ejected and was not allowed to hit the floor on Monday either.
Good.
There are a lot of people talking about different things, and I happen to be aware of them as serving on the national committee representing the state where he's from. So I know, you know, some of the back channel stuff that's occurring. And I can't share any of it because it hasn't happened, or, you know, I want to make sure that it does before I say a word.
Yeah.
And that speaks, you know, so much about the leadership of the party, you know, because it says that, listen, we're not going to tolerate this, even though we are a private organization. We believe in voluntary association, but we're not going to be held hostage by martyrs through a private organization.
Yeah.
We're serious about where we're going. If you don't like it, you are free to start a new coalition and take from the members here, see if you can convince them to join them. And we're not gonna wage war against you. We support you because, you know, you think that's the best way to champion liberty. We're just not willing to destroy our brand because you have a slight dust up.
I think it's an important lesson and a low impact moment.
Hugely impactful moment.
I think that it is. Yeah, this election cycle is hugely impactful. This particular story was low impact, but this needs to be a lesson to libertarians across the nation to get your crap straight, because people are actually paying attention. I think
couldn't be more dying for a grown-up alternative,
right,
to people that have a plan forward, because they see that there isn't a good choice in this election if you're going to look at the two major parties.
Right.
There is not. There isn't a choice that really touches people on a personal level and that causes them to have hope. It's the lesser two evils. Gary Johnson represents that hope.
Right.
His plan has to speak to the people looking for a credible third option that actually believe he can do it. And this guy can point to how he did it. So can his vice president. And you see these two guys and you think, wow, that's totally rational, reasonable, and this is what I believe in my personal life. You know what? I can do this. I can make that leap. And when someone thinks that it's okay to suicide bomb an organization in their coming out party, I guess their cotillion, if you will, like in the history of little Brett Bittner.
Oh, I do declare.
Their presentation to society. You know, it's just a shot in the face to a bunch of people who have been working side by side with you for so many years. And to think that it's okay to do that to them, not necessarily, you know, the American voter, but to the people that have worked hard in this and spent money and time and years, is just incredible to me. Such a slap in the face to libertarians. It bugs me on that level, not on the level of it discredits the party. It bugs me on the, where is that sense of decency when the moment comes out, that's your instinct, is to hit the people in the face that have helped you through the years.
Well, and the thing that really bothered me was that was essentially the last thing that the C-SPAN audience saw live.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because you didn't get an opportunity to see Mark give his nominating speech and the people that supported him. You didn't get to see Nick and the people that were supporting him give their nominating speeches. On television, it did carry over onto the radio broadcast, but that was kind of the last impression that you saw. Luckily, there was a fantastic representation of the reaction that I think most of us had.
Yeah.
And
it was handled perfectly, the reaction to it. Yeah. My only issue is that reaction should have never been necessary, because if he was serious about it, and he trusts the people he's worked with over the years, because he knows you guys.
That was the reason that I called it fraud.
Yeah.
I I think that his campaign for chair was strictly for that purpose.
I know. And he's, how many times have you spent time talking to him?
Well, I've been to Michigan a couple times.
Right. I mean, and he knows Nick. He knows everybody in the party. He's been in, you know, how he's probably been in the party minimum 6 to 8 years.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, and to have spent time with someone and then do that to them. If you have an issue like that, address it behind private doors.
Yeah.
You know, because at the end of the day, the party should, you know, they don't have to be a totally united front, because that's unrealistic expectation. No. But you should have enough respect for the people you serve side by side with and supporting the cause to approach it with them before this ever becomes an issue. Because it is, you know, it's completely taking the legs out from people who have done nothing to deserve it except work hard.
I agree.
It bugs the hell out of me.
I think you... Oops, sorry. Sorry, yeah. I had to reset the Facebook Live. I think your sentiment is shared by everybody. I think that it is. It's just a slap in the face. And, you know, we are very image conscious in this party because we are an insecure party.
You only get to make a first impression once on
yes.
the American voter.
And, you know, so many people don't know what a libertarian is. So many people don't know who Gary Johnson is. So many people don't know. And so... There is a lot of first impressions happening, and you've got to take that seriously. And unfortunately, I think people like James Weeks don't quite understand what seriously means.
No. I mean, because if you think about it, look at the lasting effects on the Republican Party for their perceived refusal to support the Civil Rights Act.
Right.
They're the party of old white men and racists. And even though they have a big delegation, you know, and they're a major party, to this day... those things last.
Right.
Abraham Lincoln, you know, worked towards freeing the slaves and arguably, you know, almost lost the country over it. But that is irrelevant to the fact in the 1960s, they were standing on the other side of civil rights. And not because they hated black people, but because they didn't think that was the right approach to take in order to have a society where they were, you know, where things were integrated organically.
Right.
And so the lasting impacts of things are just the damnedest thing to overcome because they follow you around for so long.
Right.
Yeah.
So let's go on to talk about the presidential race. I thought that was, you know, I was at the race, so I didn't see a lot of what happened on Sunday because I was at the race and then my world was falling apart. So I didn't quite keep up. Gary Johnson won on the second ballot.
Second ballot. He was 5 votes shy on the first ballot.
All right. So why do you think he was 5 votes shy?
I think a lot of it had to do with the VP thing. I really do. I talked about it when we had the post debate
right
discussion. I think that it was just a lot of people that were voicing their frustration over the idea that you have another Republican governor very similar to him. He's kind of picking the guy that he wants to run with rather than letting the delegates decide. And you know, it was kind of okay when it was Judge Gray in 2012 because right. Judge Gray was a known quantity to us. We didn't have near the time to get to know Bill Weld.
There was a week of vetting, and you know, even in the age of the internet, that's really hard.
Right, and you have so many people that were looking at the instances where he hurt the party.
Right,
the 2006 New York thing, the endorsement of Kasich after his 2014. Issues.
Didn't he endorse Obama?
I don't remember that one.
Bill Weld?
Yeah.
No, he endorsed Obama?
No, I think...
Romney.
I know he endorsed Romney, but...
I thought there was a Democrat in there somewhere.
There may have been in 2008, but I'm not 100% sure.
But see, here's what I argued in the last podcast, that you want Gary Johnson, the VP, there's really nothing but upside, as Greg has said. There's... He's only going to help as opposed to hurt. It came down, Alicia Dern, the reason she said she dropped out of the vice presidential race was that the debate commission and the polling firm said, if Weld's not on the ticket, you just have no shot. And so for the good of the party, she stepped aside and didn't run.
Well, kind of.
Okay.
She had a very, very embarrassing moment during her nominating speech where she had Weld on stage and was trying to get him to commit, and he was not committing to the things that she was trying to get him to commit to.
Oh, okay.
That would have had her actually drop out. I think it hurt her tremendously.
Trying to force
that and not getting it.
Right.
Because she was speaking, I think, on behalf of a lot of delegates who were concerned Basically, that Weld wouldn't screw the party over again. I mean, you're right. Looking at three instances. This would be a third instance. If you go back to the 2006 thing in New York, the Kasich, endorsing Kasich after what he did to the Libertarian Party of Ohio in 2014, she was just trying, and some of the comments that he made with regard to gun control, she was trying to get him to commit to hey, I'm not going to screw the party over. And he didn't seem to get that was why he was up there.
Mm.
And he never committed to the things on stage. There were a few things that I saw after the fact that happened off stage in the crowd. There were some confrontational moments that happened right behind me.
Yeah, Daryl Perry pretty much accosted him.
And so
what?
There was a confrontation that took place behind me with regard to some of the things that they were trying to get Weld to commit to and or commit not to do. It was really the wrong place with the way that Alicia did it. I mean, she could have said, look, she could have come out and said everything that she said on Facebook.
Yeah.
On stage. But I think that the way that played out was just kind of, it didn't play well for her or for Weld.
Hmm.
I think, it just delayed the inevitable, I think.
It sounds really awkward. And
it was super awkward.
Poorly executed, which never goes
very away. Awkward.
Right.
And so, yeah, Gary got it on the second ballot. There are people who, you know how it goes when you're at a convention. You commit to people on the first ballot.
Right.
You know, hey, I'm there for you. You know, they've done something for you in the past. There's a deal that's been cut. You really like them or there's new information that comes after you've already made a commitment, so you have people that are committed on the first ballot and they stick to that. And in this case, it meant that Gary lost by or didn't get enough by five.
Okay.
He was five shy of winning on the first ballot, literally five votes. I voted for Gary. I told you guys after the post-debate thing, I've been a Gary guy since 2010 and it was really his to lose. He got very close. But then, second ballot, they rallied their folks and saw, hey, he's only five votes away. Let's get it over with and move on with the day.
Yeah.
He's gotten, I hate to say it, but libertarians were kind of trying to teach him a lesson that he can just waltz in and get the nomination again. And we saw it with Harry Brown in 2000.
Which, sorry, that's ridiculous.
I know.
Ridiculous.
I'm just,
The guy has spent 4 years.
I don't disagree.
To build the party, trying to get us in the debates.
I don't
trying
disagree.
To get us press.
But you know how it goes.
I know. And it's a bunch of butthurt libertarians that don't have perspective on how politics actually works.
But
people playing politics. It's not actual political people.
He's the second nominee to be nominated twice. But they did it to Harry Brown in 2000.
Which is the guy who has created more libertarians. Like Andy Hornings, Rex Bell, guys who are giants here in Indiana are Harry Brown libertarians.
Because he spoke to so many people in a way that he was one of the best libertarian communicators there is. But they gave him hell when he was running the second time.
Right.
And we saw that. We saw the fall off. And, I was talking with you beforehand where we were talking about the fall off from the first nomination to the second. We were talking about how the Gray to Weld... or the Johnson to Gray thing in 2012 was going to be similar in the Weld in 2016, where you're going to have that drop off. It wasn't as I thought it was going to be more severe than it was. But Gary won. His acceptance speech was probably the thing that got Weld the nomination for VP.
Why?
He was emotional and authentic and pleading. It was exactly what he needed to do.
Yeah, like that it was an impassioned plea to lead and steward the party forward.
Yeah, please, 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 please.
And a lot of people said it was the first time they saw the fire from 2012 in Gary.
Exactly, because he saw that it was fading away. I think one thing that the Johnson campaign probably could have done a little better with, they probably could have had some better post-first ballot plans.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding is up until 2 weeks before, they didn't even have a plan for managing the floor or anything beyond the first ballot.
Which is insane.
And when you have that many candidates and that many questions about what could happen, who would have seen Mark Allen Feldman making it into the debate?
Yeah.
Who would have seen him having almost have his Bednarik moment as the other guys were just going after each other. You know, he could have been the last man standing. And I was looking at how people broke, and I didn't see McAfee people going to Johnson. I didn't see Peterson people going to Johnson. So really the only thing that he had going for him was that he was able to pick up a couple folks here, a couple folks there, and people who saw the inevitable and then ended up giving him the nomination. And he also got some of those second ballot. You know, they were committed to somebody else on the first, and then he got them on the second.
Yeah,
right.
They were unbound, basically.
Right. And, I mean, not that anybody's bound. You're all individuals. There's no unit voting or anything like
that. There's no formal bound
process.
But
you've committed yourself, and, you know, you don't, as a libertarian, one of the most important things is to do what you say you're going to do.
So what is the feeling amongst the McAfee and the Peterson people? Because they were very passionate.
They were. Peterson is on board. I mean, he's there to help now.
I saw he endorsed Gary, but
he did.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that the faithful are going to follow through. What are they?
No,
are
not
they
necessarily. You know, there's still some people who are feeling out what they're going to do and whining and complaining about the outcomes, and that happens every time. We saw that here in Indiana with the contested gubernatorial race. Not everybody's going to be friends by the end of the day or by the end of the weekend or by the, you know, next weekend or in some cases 2 months later. But, you know, that's kind of to be expected. You get very wrapped up and emotional. You get very committed to the person that you were supporting. And it's hard to, you know, you see your guy as a saint. You see the other guy as goofy. And I mean, goofy like the Disney character. You know, just kind of a buffoon, and you don't really, it's hard for you to turn that switch.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there are going to be some people that they're claiming that this is as bad or worse than the 2008 nomination, and they're just going to sit on their hands, or they're going to work on candidates down ballot, or, you know, they're not going to work on anything with regard to the presidential race, which I think is ridiculous, because I know that they would be expecting that if their guy had won, that everybody kind of
sorry, my cat's asshole just smacked Chloe right in the face.
That's so cool. You know, if their guy had won, they'd be expecting everybody to jump on board. And then you have the people who don't understand that when you lose, you don't necessarily get to join the winning team.
Right.
They're
stunned to realize that elections have consequences.
Right.
In a party where it historically hasn't.
Well, and exactly. Because when you're on the losing team, you don't immediately get a leadership position in the winning team.
Yeah.
That's not how it works, because you lost because you didn't do as well, whether it was your choice of candidate or so not sending out enough.
Why would we
mailers.
Expect that you could
right.
jump
now,
to the top of the leadership committee?
Now there are some people that are, you know, they've quickly hopped on board and they were ready to go, and they've got positions with the campaign, because let's face it, there are essentially 50 statewide campaigns that are happening for Gary and for Governor Weld.
That are getting set up and implemented right now.
Exactly. And so, you know, there are people that are going to be, they're going to be a part of the Johnson campaign. There are people that are going to be crying and whining until November, and they're going to cast their vote for him. And then, you know, when the results aren't what people think that they might be, they're going to play a lot of the I told you so card. And I have to point out that there's not any value in I told you so's.
Nope.
Yeah. You know, I've seen many times where what I thought was going to happened. And I could have told you, but at the end of the day, for me, what good does it do to say, hey, I told you that you were wrong. I told you that you didn't have this, you didn't have that. You know, you weren't doing this right. It doesn't do anything, because the results have already happened.
Honestly, you can kiss my ass. Like, if you're not going to get involved and you're just going to sit on the sideline and criticize, you know, I've been listening to a lot of Brené Brown this week, The Power of Vulnerability. You can get it on Audible. Get a free audiobook on We Are Libertarians at WeAreLibertarians.com and get The Power of Vulnerability. It's very good. You know, at the end of my life, I want to have stood in the arena and participated far more than I stood on the sidelines and criticized. You know, and it is easy to stand on the sidelines and criticize, because you risk nothing. But when you stand up and you actually do something, or you say something, like if you stand up and you show any kind of leadership in this world, or if you do what we do on a podcast, you post anything on your Facebook, you show any kind of opinion or vulnerability in any way, you're going to get dinged. And so people just shrink from that, so they become critical.
Yeah.
And this party is so desperate for bodies that we keep our critical people around and they drive off all of the productive people who are willing to step into the arena and then get burnt out after one cycle because they're so tired of the nitpickers. So, you know, it's a real cultural problem that the Libertarian Party has.
It's a growth issue because it's, you know, it's crossing that threshold from we haven't had to put ourselves out yet. It's been easy.
Yeah.
It's been easy to throw bombs from the cheap seats because there hasn't been a realistic chance of being caught and noticed on Meet the Press like Gary did yesterday.
Right.
We haven't had to lay out legislation and an agenda for what we would accomplish and how we would accomplish it. And so it's been easier to let people like, oh, for instance, like a Daryl Perry. Like in the past, we could have had a Daryl Perry run and he could have thrown bombs from the cheap seats and hoped he got noticed. But then when eventually the impetus is on you to present the compelling message forward, when you're running on being the credible adult solution to the party that elected Donald Trump and then the party that's electing Hillary Clinton, and even Hillary Clinton has yet to put forward a compelling plan for what her party wants to do going forward. She doesn't want to be like President Obama because she has to offer something different and he hasn't been the liberal icon that he's portrayed himself to be. And then you have Donald Trump, who hasn't issued a ton of policy initiatives, but he at least said, this is where I want to go, but no one really quite believes it yet. You know, there's still a lot of people that just aren't sure that's what he actually wants to do because they can't tell whether he will stand by that decision now. Whereas you have two-term governors from Democratic states where they were both resoundingly reelected. They aren't perfect. And we don't know it's whether they actually aren't perfect or whether they're not perfect for political reasons that appeal to the average voter who isn't sure about libertarianism. But we have crossed the threshold from being seen as someone with legitimate criticisms that sell our criticisms well. And now people are saying, well, now I want someone to vote for. These guys seem to have it. But that means putting our vision forward, and that sure is going to be painful.
Well, and you know, one of the things that I can say, having stood as a candidate, you're going to agree with only one person 100% of the time, and that's yourself. And for those of us who've been candidates, mm-hmm. we've had the opportunity arena to vote for ourselves, but that is literally the only time I've ever voted for anyone that I agree with 100% of the time.
Exactly.
There are going to be compromises that you have to make. And at this point, when I was talking with the Boston Globe about the nomination before it happened, they were talking about Weld. They wanted to kind of get an on-the-ground view. I said, look, it's all about the spectrum of perceived electoral viability and ideological purity. The delegates had to figure out where they were, and there were enough that were on the perceived electoral viability side of that spectrum that said, hey, we're going to take this party where it needs to be.
We're going to meet the American voter where they are.
Right. And, you know, while I was not necessarily a big fan of Weld, I did vote for Larry Sharp. Because I see so much that he has to offer, so much that he has to offer libertarians, so much that he has to offer the people of New York. He's talking about running for governor in 2018 there. Just such an amazing human being and a fantastic communicator of libertarian ideas. I get the feeling about him that I did about Harry Brown. I get the feeling about him that I did about Ron Paul when it comes to the things that, when he's talking about libertarianism and
the compelling way he presents it.
He is, you know, I think I talked about it post-debate. I said, you know, Gary gets him in the mind. You know, he's changing minds. Larry Sharp can change hearts because that is the kind of guy that he is. And, you know, we talked a little bit about that at the beginning of the podcast. You know, there are so many libertarians that go after minds. There are so few of us.
We win the logical vote. We win the logic, rational vote because
there's
no refuting
it. If we can stick with it, and yeah, we do.
But people don't buy on logic.
No.
You know, if they would buy on...
They don't remember the speech where you quoted all these statistics and you laid out a perfectly logical argument. They remember how you made them feel.
Exactly. You know, our voting decisions do not mirror rationality.
No, they do not.
They never do.
No.
You have to, you know, unfortunately, that's what sucks sometimes, being in a party which is more logically minded, is we have to figure out, we have to use dirty tactics.
Mm-hmm.
They feel impure. They mm-hmm. feel, you know, they're qualitative, not quantitative.
Right.
And so that is,
and
just
it's
attributes
tough
more to what we've got to overcome.
When you're the good guy, that you wear the white hat almost all the time, to not do that is really tough.
It is. I mean, and that's why I think, like I've talked before, I struggle to find what kind of role I could even play. in the party because my skill set is negative. My skill set is tearing down, not building. Or like, right. You know, I can put forward a policy, you know, put together policy plans or policy agenda that I would follow. And that's what I liked about Weld is that, yes, he is hardly, I mean, it is tough to call him a libertarian based on his past.
Yes.
But that's tough to call any of us. I mean, you're the one rarity where you won't. No, but I mean, you were a libertarian before you were anything else.
It's true. I mean, I there is footage of me hosting a Support the Troops rally where it is the most neocon thing you've ever seen.
And you couldn't be more libertarian flirting with anarchy now. And so it's an incredible thing to hold someone to their past.
And that's my problem with the whole anti-Weld thing is there is no forgiveness of his past. And
there's still some for Gary.
People are still critical of Gary, just the fact that he had an R next to his name. And the Libertarian Party and the Libertarian movement as a whole needs to get itself to a place where we realize that we are a coalition party. So the Republicans, it's top-down ideology, and that's why you're seeing so many problems in the Republican Party is because that top-down ideology has shattered, and now there are no...
Now they're trying to coalition build like the Democrats.
Yes, mm-hmm. And so the Democrats are a coalition party of the LGBT community, the
identity
black
politics.
Community, the gay community, the Hispanic community, Code Pink, and put all these groups together, they vote for the similar interests. Libertarians are an ideological coalition party, and we spend far too much time arguing over those ideologies and claiming the others are impure instead of looking at a guy like Gary Johnson or a Bill Weld and saying, that guy's infinitely closer than Hillary Clinton or Bill Clinton. I can vote for them even though they're not in my ideological camp. When you don't do that, you shoot yourself in the foot and you're just being moronic. I'm sorry. Like I understand that there is a balance in politics, and Roger Paxton of the Lava Flow podcast, excellent podcast, by the way, download it now. He and I have had this argument because when you're in politics, you do have to balance your pure political beliefs with your political pragmatism and strategy. And when you look at this election, yes, Daryl Perry is the most pure ideological candidate, the person that I agree with and my philosophy the most, but is he the right, practical, pragmatic candidate for us to run in 2016 with this opportunity? No, that person is Gary Johnson, and the vice presidential candidate is Bill Weld. Are they perfect in terms of ideology? No, because they are direction libertarians. Like Mike Munger talks about, they are direction libertarians. They are moving
destination libertarians.
Their destination. They're moving the state piece by piece to a more libertarian society, and they're willing to work within the bureaucracy of government to get a more libertarian outcome.
Right.
Whereas Daryl Perry is a destination libertarian who said, "This is exactly what I want. This is all I'm going to argue for, and people need to see the beacon of freedom in my message." And Daryl's great at that, and people do listen to him, and he does attract people. But does he attract non-libertarians? Not as much as a Gary Johnson will, because people have been fed socialism and statism and government for 100 years that they have to look at a Bill Weld or a Gary Johnson and go, okay, that person has this on their resume. They didn't blow up the state of New Mexico. I can trust them. We just need these people to press the L button one time and get them to start conditioning for it. And we can't shoot ourselves in the foot with a John McAfee. I'm sorry. He's not an electable guy. He was talking about the broad philosophy of libertarianism. He's not talking about specific policy points. When you watched the vice presidential debate, I was very impressed by Larry Sharp. But again, it was broad libertarian politics. Broad libertarian messages. Bill Weld is a policy wonk who is going to give you a solution on the issues, and that is what voters want.
They'll say, Donald Trump doesn't have one. Hillary Clinton only criticizes Trump's lack of one, and here is what the future looks like, and I can take you there.
And, you know, we are doing this for voters. I'm sorry, libertarians. We are here to win votes. We are not here to... We Are Libertarians is about winning libertarian hearts and minds. What the Advocates for Self-Government does is winning, is helping people recognize that they are libertarian to start them down that path. The next step is a We Are Libertarians, where we're a fun outlet for you to learn more about libertarianism. The next step is to get involved and fall down that rabbit hole so eventually you're so libertarian you can't possibly be involved in the Libertarian Party anymore.
And what's funny about this dichotomy that you're talking about between Gary Johnson and Daryl Perry, and it, you could pick any two people that are kind of on the spectrum that I described, you know, at one end and the other, we're arguing about 5%.
Right.
We really are. We're arguing about the 5% of things that we don't agree 100% of the time on. You take the I side with, and you know, you go through, and I can put my super ideological purity hat on, and I'm going to get Daryl Perry every time. Yep. I can put the, this is from an electoral politics, electoral viability standpoint, I'm going to come out with Governor Johnson. And it, but it's not going to be that Daryl is at 60% near Hillary. You know, it's that Daryl's at 95% and Gary's at 100.
Yep.
And so, in all honesty, you take a look at everybody that ran from all 17 candidates. And trust me, I saw all of them speak at least once. I was involved in that, the unofficial last word debate, and I saw so many people that were in, that were running for president, and they're all infinitely better. No matter what your thoughts are about them, about whatever policy it is or whatever misstep they had on the campaign trail or whatever, they're all infinitely better than what the Republicans and Democrats
unless
are offering.
You are a Jewish baker in 1945. The decisions and the criticisms don't matter. They are irrelevant chatter designed to drum up discontent among people that are butthurt.
It was it was a way to divide,
a way
to find that 5% that you disagree on. Whether, you know, it was Peterson or McAfee or Feldman or Perry or, you know, even down the line with Shauna Sterling and Kevin McCormick and some of those guys that were in the second and third tier of candidates, you know, they were all infinitely better. All infinitely better than anything Team R or Team D is offering.
I agree with, on my eye side with, all the presidential candidates in the 90s for the Libertarians. I agree with Donald Trump on 69%. That is a far drop. I believe I agree with Hillary Clinton on 23%. That's a huge drop. Like, there is just no question that you only have one choice for president if you're a Libertarian. It is Gary Johnson. And if you want to, you know, if he's not pure enough for you, then maybe you should just stop paying attention to politics and just get out of politics and stop volunteering for the Libertarian Party, because that's just, your goal is to give voters what they want and as much of a libertarian package as you can stomach, okay? It is about voters. It is about what voters want. It is not about what libertarians want. You have to stop being so navel-gazing. Otherwise, this party will never grow. And that's, if you want to attack Gary Johnson, then don't call yourself a libertarian person, a party member anymore. Like, it's, like, he is the candidate. If you are involved in the power structure in a leadership position within the Libertarian Party, you should be supporting Gary Johnson.
And for the most part, they are.
And if you don't, then you should not have a leadership position in the Libertarian Party. You can be a Libertarian and not be part of the Libertarian Party. You can go be a Trump voter and be a Libertarian, I guess. You can go be a nobody. You can be like my former intern, Lauren Rumpler, and say voting is violence and you're not going to vote and you're just forcing. That's fine. Yeah. There's no shame in any of that.
No.
But there should be a level of shame if you are a leader in the party and you're not supporting your top of the ticket candidates, because you are part of an organization that an organization, a house divided cannot stand. That's just plain and simple.
No, because we have a hard enough time. And, you know, one of the things I looked in the news coverage was I kind of expected the news coverage on the right, because the right tends to see the one of their formerly own are going to be more hostile to the Libertarians nominating Weld and Johnson. And so a lot of that was they focused on the, you know, James Weeks. And yet, then I was like, well, you know what? I'm not going to read that because I know what that is. Like, you know, everyone knows what their point is and why it's written out of fear. So I was like, I'm going to read Slate and The Atlantic and primarily those to see what the feedback was. And it was shocking that their coverage was primarily about Johnson not winning on the first ballot and almost saying libertarians have this moment. Like, they were sympathetic that libertarians are on this precipice of something that can be grown and as a viable option in the absence of a conservative option. And yet, I think it was 3 out of 4 articles that all came out the day after were ending their article asking the same question. Should the Libertarian presidential and vice presidential nominees leave the party behind?
Yeah.
And that is the exact opposite of what we should be trying to do.
Right.
You know, that right there should send tremors to everyone, you know, that is, you know, that has been throwing unjustified blows at Johnson and Weld. Holy crap. They're actually paying this close of attention, and now they see cracks that I helped cause. That should be it should waken them up and make them want to say, listen, I need to get in line. I'm going to stop criticizing Gary, and I'm going to start talking. Maybe you don't sing his praises, but you at least talk about how the Libertarian Party is offering the real solution in the election. There are other ways to talk about the growth and in meeting that moment where the voters seem to want it.
Yeah. I think this is a good time to get into we never got to your perspective on the convention, Greg. You were there for a brief time, but you were like, I don't really think I should share. It's going to be tough love.
My tough love isn't for the Libertarian Convention. As it is, I tend to get attacked on where I see the party going in the future. So I am all for the Libertarian Party growing. I think it's under the best leadership it's ever been on. I think it's making the best decisions it's ever made and taking every step in the right direction to being a viable political party. My long-term forecast, or where I see things going, are that, one, I think we live in a world where there are more collectivists than there are individualists. You know, the individual, the group of people who are committed to libertarianism or libertarian sympathetic leanings are always outnumbered. You know, the trends of history are always that when you do finally get that small individualist revolution, the collective gangs up back against them because they don't like it or want to force people to live a certain way. And so I see the Libertarian Party growing and growing and growing. I see it becoming a real political party where it starts to, in a three-way races, get anywhere between 25% and 35% of every vote. But the Republican, you know, flip-flopping between that 25% and 35%, but then the Republican or the Democrat always taking 40%. The collective outnumbering the individual, I can see a point where the Republican Party and the Libertarian Party look at each other and say, God, we just keep getting our asses handed to us by 5% and not being in the arena because we're losing. How can we turn this tide? And I think it is that the libertarian message and ideology becomes the replacement for the leftover remnants of the political party of the GOP towards its inevitable death.
Yeah.
You know, I can see it happening one of two ways, where the libertarians are ushered in as the replacement for conservatism in the ideological foundings of the party, but I think it would be too tough of sell to too many. And so it's like when the Whigs split up. The major party has to go because of just years of bad feelings
bad branding.
Right. And so then you had the Free Soilers. And so the Free Soilers and the Northern Whigs ended up the foundations of, not even right away, the new Republican Party. It was the National Union Party that Lincoln ran on. And so I foresee the destiny of the individualist movement within American politics being not necessarily the Libertarian Party in the long run. It might be a Constitution Party. It might be a Liberty Party.
The formation of the Republican Party was around a single issue, which was
slavery.
It wasn't just slavery. It was not the Three-Fifths Compromise.
The Missouri Compromise.
It was on a specific issue that was very hotly debated in that time, and all these disparate groups came together and said, this is a major issue that we all agree on. We need to coalesce around this issue. And I could see the national debt being the issue that can kind of coalesce all these conservative, right-leaning groups and libertarians into a single force if they can just stop biting each other's face off.
Well, it's just the social issues that split them. I mean, granted, it's our perception of government, because Republicans at the local levels are every bit as statist as Democrats are
Absolutely.
At the national levels.
Right.
And so that's the hypocrisy, is that they run on being small government constitutional conservatives, and yet they hold press conferences celebrating HUD funds coming into their communities ushered in by a Republican mayor. So the reality is the Republican Party, like we talked about last episode, is intellectually bankrupt. It's no longer philosophically driven. It's playing identity politics. And there has to be an ideological replacement. And the only one that even looks remotely close to something tolerable and that can be stomached by the old gray hairs that make it up is a focus around economic issues only, and then an abandonment of social issues. But it has
to
like-
be... The Tea Party 2010 Republicans,
and
who've completely abandoned the idea of limited government. They were running only on economic issues.
Oh,
and now they're Samantha Bee did a if you aren't watching Full Frontal with Samantha Bee, and not just because there are going to be libertarians on there from the convention at the next couple episodes, but she really did a great job of pointing out that the 2010 Tea Party Revolution that kind of never happened, but the people that got elected running solely on the economic issues are now the ones that are celebrating the regulations with regard to the size of the hallways of abortion clinics in Texas, and are singing the praises of the transgender bathroom law in North Carolina. These so-called ignoring social issues Republicans that ran under the guise of limited government and under the guise of economic freedom and only focusing on economic issues, 6 years later, they are among the biggest statists, but it's their social issue stuff.
They're the new
it.
Culture warriors.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They are. They're the new cultural warriors that have realized this is the conundrum of the Republican Party. Everyone loves to talk about the debt and small government, limited government. That doesn't fundraise.
Nope.
Guns, abortion, those fundraise. And yep. It's the cultural issues. And so they get elected and they inevitably start tacking towards where they can raise money, and their super PACs can raise money, and they're raiding with the conservative organizations. Mm-hmm. And so you have someone like a Ted Cruz, who's supposedly part of the Liberty Caucus, sounding like Jerry Falwell. You know, you have person after person just abandon the things they promised, including the pursuit of those things, and instead becoming 1994 ditto head Congress Republicans talking about the need to get, the need for America to stop having a disgraceful values in the White House with Bill Clinton and all the awful things he was doing that discredit our nation's standing in the world culturally. And until they get serious about that, or until the fundraising base dies off, which it every year,
yep.
it just dies and dies and dies, but they still show up on election day for the meantime, we won't reach that point. But that's why I'm pro the Libertarian Party growth, is because they are the only party of true economic non-intervention and you know, real small, constitutionally limited small government, and they will grow to a point where it'll be so painful for the Republicans they'll have to trot out corpses on voting day to even have any chance at winning.
Well, and one of the things that I wanted to throw in there when you were talking about percentages, you're talking about it from a plurality state.
Mm-hmm.
For those of us who grew up in an era where you had to win 50% plus one, you build that coalition and you don't have the Democrats win.
Right.
If you are in a situation like I was when I ran for office, I wanted to make sure that I won without a runoff.
You had to, or else you wouldn't win at all.
Right. And so, you know, it the Never Bittner crowd could show up and oppose me, and they could get that 50% plus one.
And you know how they fundraise.
They do. They do a much better job than those terrible t-shirts at probittner.com/neverbittner.
I am not pro-Bittner just because I bought a t-shirt, okay?
Being pro-Bittner is being anti-America.
Just because $5 of Never Bittner went to We Are Libertarians by getting a Never Bittner t-shirt, it does not mean you are supporting Bittner.
Yes.
It is Never Bittner. Hashtag Never Bittner. Don't
follow
forget.
The money. Follow Never. The money trail. Well, do you think we've covered this thing enough today?
Chloe?
We've been on for quite a while.
Hey, Chloe's still
hey,
here.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
How was the trunk?
Very dark.
Nowhere.
No air conditioning. Golf clubs on one side. You know, it happens.
Mm. Man, such white male privilege.
Yep. Check your privilege. Absolutely.
You're a white male.
Gosh. You guys are funny.
You're a white male.
Oh.
I am AIDS exhausted. Skrillex. Oh, the greatest name for a meme ever, right?
AIDS Skrillex
and Carl the Cuck.
Cucky Tales with Carl the Cuck.
AIDS Skrillex was, I still laugh at that.
I know.
Chloe, thank you for being here.
Hey, I'm, you know.
No, I don't.
Yeah. So what's your deal?
Yeah.
I don't know. What's your deal?
Did people come up to you at the convention and ask what your deal was?
I think the only person that did was Travis.
Yeah.
Because he just was the one that like really, really listened. But
everybody else asked if they could see your deal.
No, everyone, not in those words, but a lot of people asked about Lens and you.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I introduced
Bittner. Did they ask more for me or did they ask more for Greg?
I'm not going to tell you.
You can't separate us from the podcast.
It's because I'm on a weak place, isn't it? You people love Greg Moore.
I
get it. He's way more likable than me.
I
think there's
50-50.
Quite a long list of people who'd beg to disagree. One of them's running for Senate.
Oh, that's great.
All right. Well, I think that wraps this up.
Yep.
I think that's about enough of this. All right, let's wrap it up. And if you want to self-promote anything, I'm sure you do, Chloe.
I do.
All right.
I really do.
Let's hear it.
So I move into the hotel for Miss Indiana Week this upcoming Sunday.
Miss Indiana.
Yes. Very exciting. Excited to represent WAL and my community and everything that I've been doing the last 10 years.
And your skill is memeing.
Memeing on stage. Yes, that's my talent this year.
The art of the meme.
The art of the meme while playing piano. But I'm excited to...
We've been working on the slideshow for weeks.
Yeah, it's just about perfect. But I'm excited to finish out the 10 years that I've been in the Miss America organization. I'm excited. It's going to be real bittersweet. And the listeners at home have the opportunity to be the sixth judge, if you will, and can vote me into the top 11. Votes are a dollar, and eventually I'll share the link somewhere. And all of that money goes to the Children's Miracle Network. So
that's fantastic.
Always, you know, for the kids. Can't wait to spend some time at Riley's this week with my fellow contestants too. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be really fun.
And there is an event that people can come and support you at, right?
Yes, I will put that in the group, or we can
best
figure
to
that
keep
out
libertarians
somehow.
Away from that, based on your convention experience.
Well, the good they news can't is get is close, and there's security.
Yeah,
so
you haven't been wedding sacked yet, so why not, you know,
listen,
why risk it?
Libertarians, there is a group of hot chicks, young hot chicks, that will be on stage at the Zionsville
Performing Arts Center.
Performing Arts Center on Thursday.
Thursday the 18th? 16th.
Tickets are $20, so borrow it from your mom.
Yep.
And come out and vote for you.
Yes. Well, and the voting is done online, but if they want to come see me play piano, they can come this Thursday. There's an event. Next Thursday. Sorry.
Go steal yourself your own Princess Leia.
And
yeah.
Chloe's little sister's going to be there, and I'm going to sit next to her.
We're in love, and you can't stop it.
Sister. Ew.
Sis.
Ew.
Ew.
I'm grossed out.
I know.
Will you give me away at our wedding?
Okay, so vote for me. Thanks.
I want to ask you, did you ever, at any point, so this past week, I've been trying to, Kat and I, her 19-year-old sister, she's what, 3-4 years younger than you?
Almost 5,
okay.
Actually.
And Kat launched her YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to your little sister.
Mm-hmm.
And so this past week, we've been saying that we were going to go on a date on Friday night.
Right.
And we worked all week on it together. Yes. It was a couple's project. Did at any point you believe that I was actually taking your little sister out on a date?
When she texted me while I was driving from either, like, I think I went home this past weekend. So as I was coming from Indy to Elkhart, she texted me and I'm like, I've got my map. And she said, hey, can I stay at your place on Friday? But if not, I can just stay at Spangles. And I like about dropped my phone and was like,
yes!
Are you kidding me?
Yes.
Like, this is not funny.
Are you kidding me?
I was not happy.
Yes.
I was not happy. I was already in a bad mood, so that just made it worse.
I can't wait to share this news with Kat. I'm going to text her right now.
How about not?
I'll give her a call later. it genuinely irritates you, doesn't it?
That's my little sister. Like, it's weird.
You know I'm not actually going to date your sister, right?
I know, but it's still kind of weird.
I know.
But... Yeah.
She's 19.
We need to get her down here this summer.
My age limit's 20.
Please.
Actually, I've kind of upped it to like 30.
Half your age plus 7,
yeah.
Right?
That's,
exactly.
That's the rule.
Okay.
All right.
Now, Brett.
Little Brett Bittner, why don't you wrap up at your own pace?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, really the only thing that I want to make sure that the WAL listeners do is give $5 to WAL by going to tchip.com.
How brave.
/neverbittner. And getting your very own Never Bittner t-shirt. It comes in UGA red. It has my face on it. And it has the hashtag Never Bittner. Thank you very much, Chris Spangle. and $5 from each one of those shirts will go to We Are Libertarians. That is a commitment that I am making to Chris. I made it to him as I made the shirts, and I'm very much looking forward to wearing mine at the next Wall Live, provided, of course, that I'm invited to attend.
June 27th, if you are a listener, if you're in the Indianapolis area, if you want trip in, June 27th.
We're going to have to hurry.
Yeah.
Why?
Brett and I will be in D.C.
We have a blogger activist fly-in with Freedom Works that will be flying back in Monday. So hopefully we'll be on time.
Hopefully we
won't have our Orlando 4-hour delay.
Oh my gosh, that was terrible.
Somebody won't put NSA keywords on your wall.
That's why we won't check in until we're actually on the plane.
Right.
Yep.
As someone who has lived that nightmare, I can assure you it will not be I.
All right. So yes, please buy a Never Bittner t-shirt.
Yes, please do. It does help Wall. I was trying something out, and I figured, you know, I'll help Wall with the...
He found an amazing vendor, too, so we're going to have the ability to print t-shirts now, thanks to Little Brett Bittner. So if you're a fan of that sort of thing, if you want a We Are Libertarians t-shirt, then Brett Bittner is helping you out.
Show us that you're interested in t-shirts.
Yeah.
That was actually one of the reasons when Spangle and I were talking about the idea... it was one of the cool things was, aside from him getting $5 from each t-shirt, is that you'd actually see the appetite for the audience when it comes to stuff like that. So if there are, you know, if we want to put what do you call the Velcro shoes of mine?
The pacemakers. Air Bittners.
So if we need to put the Air Bittner pacemakers on a shirt, we can do that. You know, but we're trying it out with Never Bittner first.
All right, cool. So please check that out. Yeah, we're gonna look into making some t-shirts and come up with some clever phrases. Wrapping it up is one Mr. Gregory Lenz. Sorry, I'm on Klonopin. It's not good.
Nice. So you're well medicated.
Oh,
thank goodness.
Listen, I've been. We'll get to that in a little bit.
How can I feel all these feels?
I don't want to feel all my feelings.
Exactly.
I've spent 31 years burying them and 1 year feeling them, and it's terrible.
I know. If I could just revert back.
Yeah.
Ignorance is bliss. Blue pill me.
Give me Soma.
Let's see. Just two things. One, first and foremost, we would be bad libertarians if we didn't announce the Bilderbergs are convening their annual retreat and plotting the next year of global history. And apparently the hot topic is the British exit from the Euro. The Brexit. I don't know if anyone here has been following that whatsoever, but I would highly doubt it. Convinced you're all looking at your phones.
Yeah.
I
was looking up the special message from the Bilderbergs. I have to give the signal at the end of the show.
Oh, you are the you're the puppet master of the New World Order?
You don't have the tooth implant that it just automatically goes right into your ear canal?
No, unfortunately, I had a bad kernel in popcorn, and it fell out.
That's a shame.
Forever lost.
Was that the signal? Because
are you offended by my gas, Chloe and Agnos, the person who wrecked the bathroom before we went on the air?
I did no such thing.
She who destroys the restrooms. Shiva, destroyer of restrooms.
It is great to see how you smell good, you look good, you didn't do anything explosive in the bathroom that we know of.
To quote Joe Biden, you are articulate and clean.
Last time she smelled like a Greek hero. Giro? Hero?
Giro. The G. You don't pronounce the G. What's wrong with you?
So it's ananas?
It's ananas. That's how you say pineapple in French. Ananas.
No, it's ananas, you guys.
No,
you guys are giving me...
Say it slower in French.
Ananas.
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 Ananas. Ananas.
No.
It sounds like a German man talking about my butt.
Gadolf.
and us.
Oh, God.
So geez. The Bilderbergs.
Anyway, no, the Bilderbergs, and then that's the Brexit, which is...
Don't forget CFR.
Yep. Dominating all... Yeah, the Council of Foreign Relations. Who else should we remember? No. But the Brexit's going to be interesting. It's a lot of... Or much ado about nothing. There's no way they'll upset the global financial system. They'll just keep threatening it to get better borrowing rates from sovereign debt funds. And then lastly, vote for if you are in District 8. So if that is your Indiana congressional district, remember to vote for Andrew Horning. Like his page on social media and feel free to share some of his memes and such. And I would much appreciate it.
All right. Well, that information is brought to you by Greg's new master.
Master, is
Miss
it?
Master, yes.
Master.
Whipped. Whipped.
Whipped, huh?
Whipped. Listen, I know the signs. Nobody is whipped harder than I am. Yeah.
Excuse me?
You are Mr. I have been informed via message.
Yeah,
via
I approved
Via private message.
Which I approved.
That you are not. She is not Mrs. Gregory Linz.
No.
You are Mr. H.
Oh, just H?
Mr. H. I don't know if I should say her first name, but...
Okay.
You know.
Oh, you're good. You're good.
Okay. Mr. Lindsay H.
Mr. Lindsay H. Right. Is that right?
A kept man.
That's, well, that's what I heard.
He's been... Has he not spent more time down in the 8th District?
How would you know?
Quote, unquote, canvassing for votes.
Oh, this please. Week? Trust me. After this weekend, it was campaigning hard.
I bet it was. Were you,
oh, my God.
I bet it you was a full-scale campaign that you launched.
It was like a, you know, it was exciting. It felt exciting that people were so ready for libertarianism to hear it.
You were knocking on every door and checking every box.
Okay, well.
All right.
And we wonder why we suck at outreach to women.
Was that offensive?
We have seized the torch of the war on women from the Republican Party.
I was
somehow
offended.
Everything you do is offensive.
Well, listen.
It's because he's a white man.
Yep.
So at the Indy 500, there was a tribute to the Pearl Harbor guys. They had a bunch of Pearl Harbor survivors there for the 100th running of the Indianapolis 500.
Sponsored by Toyota.
Right. And
was there, it really?
There are... There's one Japanese driver, and I just tweeted out, wow, I bet this is making Sato feel really uncomfortable. And a local DJ wrote back, I'm not going to retweet that. Somebody will be mad at me, but that is good work. And I just said, if somebody's not offended, you're not doing your job, young man. Thank you for joining us here on this episode. We appreciate you so much. We thank you for joining us here on this podcast.
Wait, you're not really putting this out, are you?
Why wouldn't I?
I don't know.
What? I thought this was good.
Oh, okay.
Listen, don't undermine my gut. It's very shaky right now. I have to learn to trust my intuition.
More than mine.
And I just got a mess. I got a response, and I'm triggered. So
good.
What?
Nothing. All right, guys. I'll talk to you later. It is great to see you. Thank you for being here, Chloe. You look absolutely thrilled. We'll be there to support you.
And it's gonna be so fun.
Yeah, we're gonna be there to support little Brett Bittner as always by buying a T-shirt. And Greg, we're gonna be there to help you pick up trash on the side of the road in Owen County. So, all right. Thanks, guys, for joining us here on this episode of We Are Libertarians. Love you so much. This was a shit episode, and as always, we promise
to do better next time.